Konnichiwa, bitches. What it is, what it is, what it is. This is a podcast.
Oh, the podcast started. Mm-hmm. I was just dicking around on my phone.
Okay.
I'm not even plugged in, man.
Oh, did God. You? Oh, Jesus.
Oh, jeez.
Professional.
Oh, boy. Jet lag's the fuck.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. It is, isn't it?
You just got off a plane, too.
I just got off a plane, went home, closed my eyes for 4 hours, and got back up.
4 hours, I feel like, is... I feel like when you sent me the message, you sent it to me at, like, 9:52 a.m.
Wait, did I count that wrong? Well, yeah, I did. So that's... Yeah. I got in. That's 10, 11, 12, 1...
2...
Then I got up and did some hours. Prep. Yeah.
No, it's like I saw that. I'm like, man, that's a highly specific amount of time. Wooly knows exactly how much he needs to sleep to be able to talk. And then he came in and we're setting up microphones and shit because it was all moved around because I haven't been here lately. And he's trying to tell me about asking me if I fucking watched the Paris Game Week, and sentences just are just tumbling out of his mouth like garbage. I'm like, this is going to be a good podcast. This is going to be great.
You ever see like a banana peel literally fall off the back of a garbage truck?
Yes.
Those were the sentences that we're attempting to form.
Oh, man. Oh, welcome to the sleepy friend cast.
Hold that thought for a moment.
I will.
Because I want to ask if anyone...
Has... Oh, he's doing it. He's doing it now, guys. You can hear it.
I want to ask, this is, oh man, it's never
just
been,
read the thing in front of you.
I'm my voice is cracking.
Read it. You have words in front of you.
Have you ever wondered what it might be like to captain some of the greatest warships of World War II? Then you should check out World of Warships, the free-to-play historical online combat game from War Gaming. Download World of Warships for free today at commandwarships.com to begin your naval adventure. Make sure to enter the code FRIENDCAST17 when you download to get tons of bonus content courtesy of the super best friend cast. That includes a free premium ship for the famous cruiser Aurora, a pile of in-game currency to start your epic war, World War II naval experience, and hopefully me getting my voice back. So you want to just download World of Warships today at commandwarships.com using the code FRIENDCAST17. Start playing today. Thank you, World of Warships.
Thank you, World of Warships.
All right.
Drink your drink, man.
Ooh.
You have two drinks here.
I finished the first one.
Oh, man.
On the way in.
I just started going for the big ones.
Oh, fucking piece of shit.
Oh,
fuck.
Yeah?
You seen this shit?
What?
Like, Matt is away because of lovey-dovey reasons.
Yeah, he's on his anniversary thing. He's in Florida. He just put up a Twitter update of him on a beach going, fuck, I could be playing Mario Odyssey right now.
It's not some bullshit. But
is this bullcrap?
But he made sure to leave a pile of Marvel Masterpiece cards. Actually, no. Hold on. These are amalgam comic cards.
Oh, wow.
Including characters such as Black Bat and Moonwing.
And he just...
So I guess amalgam continued beyond
there's
my
something
knowledge.
About him just there's some portal in his house that he just reaches into that 90s bullshit comes out of.
Well, I seen this eBay sticker on the fucking box.
Is the portal his front door?
I'm gonna put that right back where it was, except for the one card he took out, which yes, we do know about, Speed Demon, half Flash, half
Ghost Rider.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's okay.
So that's some shit that we'll save that for a rainy day.
It's a rainy day right now.
Fuck.
Hey, you want to hear about rainy days? You know what sucks a bunch of shit?
Mm-hmm.
You plan a big old vacation to a very far foreign country, and it decides to fucking typhoon on you for most of your vacation.
Yeah, what's up with that? What actually went down there?
This will be a much shorter version, and to those asking, no, we did not record a video like last time, because we honestly went to a lot of the same places. It was less of a, like, exploratory vacation, and more of, like, I want to be there for a week again.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of what Liam talked about when I first got back the first time. And he was like, don't you understand why I keep wanting to go back? It's like, yes, I imagine over the course of my life, I will actually go back to Osaka relatively often.
I understand. Yeah.
I agree. In terms of like new stuff, new shrines, new castles, had the best ramen in Osaka, as recommended to me by many people. And guess what? The best ramen in Osaka is the shit. It's okay. The absolute best.
Okay.
But in terms of typhoon weather, of course, the day that was scheduled on the plan to hit Inari Mountain again and climb that fucking mountain was the worst of the typhoon weather.
Mm.
And I got to find out what it feels like to have your feet and shoes just completely soaked through for like an entire day.
Yeah, good times.
Just the worst fucking feeling. Mm. Just sloshing about like, ugh. Just the worst. But the main thing that I wanted to talk about, unfortunately, I thought Matt was going to be here when I told you this a few days ago. So now I'm just going to tell it to you again, Wooly.
Hi.
Was that when I went to USJ, I got to do most of the Halloween shit that USJ had to offer.
Last time.
It was too early last time. Mm. Last time I went was like, I got out of the country by like mm-hmm. the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And man, fucking foreign horror bullshit is the best. I also encountered what was a massive disappointment.
Did you?
Yes, I was informed.
See, I'm doing it. It's like I never heard it before.
Yeah. Well, this is new, actually. Yeah. I was informed by a friend of a friend that Biohazard was totally going to be there this time.
Oh, shit.
Only to find out upon entering into the park that Biohazard is just straight up not there this year.
Oh.
Because they... So here's my guess. I'm going to assume just Capcom pulled the licensing on it or whatever. And the reason why I think this is that because instead of Biohazard, I wandered over to the exact spot that mm-hmm. Biohazard was at. It's part of the Backdraft amusement little tour. Instead, they have Dead Man's Forest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So you wander in.
Maybe they just...
You stand there and you're like, wow, those guys look exactly like Umbrella Countermeasure operatives. But instead of STARS or UBM... what is it?
BSAA?
No, or there's a third one from RE3 called It's the Umbrella Guys.
Yeah.
Instead of that, and instead of Red Berets, they have Black Berets. And instead, they have an anagram on their shoulder that goes Stripes.
Ah, wow.
Okay. And here's the part where I'm like, that's pretty suspicious, but okay. And then you walk in and do the briefing, which is fantastic. They put you in that little auditorium, mm-hmm. and they have soldiers talking to you about like, oh no, there's some bullshit out there, yada yada. And then a zombie attacks them, but it's like a horrible mutated, like more Dead Space kind of thing.
Okay.
And in the gunfire, they end up firing off and hitting a barrel, which sprays like zombie gas all over the audience, which then they inform you that you're infected and that you have to get to the decontamination room.
Mm-hmm.
During the sequence, the goddamn Resident Evil movie theme is playing.
Okay, hold on. Are we talking Legally Distinct?
No.
No.
It's straight up the RE1, like, intro, the Resident Evil movie, like, the first one, that intro reel, like, the piano thing, the tech piano thing that plays over the umbrella, okay. It's just that exact track.
Okay.
I would recognize it anywhere. And the best part about it is they give you the decontamination code, which is 429-729. And the reason why I remember that is because once you get to the end of the maze, you have to punch that in to close the door.
Right.
And if you don't, you fail.
Yeah, okay.
Then they dump you into this little park with actors jumping out of shit to fuck with you. And in some cases, running straight up to your face at a full sprint was really lame because Biohazard the Real gives you a gun.
Yeah.
And okay. An ammo counter on your arm.
Oh.
And it gives teams of eight a handgun and an ammo counter with a health meter.
Oh, fuck.
And you have 30 bullets each, and you have to get through the Raccoon Police Department stage and the hospital stage. And I'm never going to get to do it. I'm never going to fucking get
no,
to do it.
That's over. That's...
Like, it's...
I didn't realize it was an actual game.
Yeah, no. I think... Maybe they didn't pull it. Maybe it's because, like, this Dead Man's Forest is, like, a straight line with a little maze. they were throwing groups of 30 at this thing, like, and they were making it through. Whereas the Biohazard game is like that. 15 minutes and it's 8 people max.
Yeah. You ruined that with a group of 30 guns.
Yeah. Like, so I'm just thinking, like, maybe it's just to get more people in faster. Got to see the fucking Chucky thing, which I believe also exists in the U.S.
How long was the Dead Man's Forest, the not Resident Evil?
The intro was about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. The maze itself was about 10 minutes.
Hmm. You think they could have cut that down any? You think they could have made that a little shorter, maybe?
They probably could have.
Could have gotten to the point a little bit more.
Probably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wasted a little bit of time, don't you think?
Yeah, I felt like... I'm just lucky I didn't wait for like 3 hours to get in because it's like, because like, you know, when you get to a theme park early and you walk through the absolutely absurd line setup that they have that can accommodate like a 4 hour wait, but there isn't one, you're there when the park opens. So you're part of the first group.
Yeah.
Like as I leave and I pass by the fucking Embarcadero or whatever the fuck it's called, I'm like, man, if I had waited 4 hours for that, I'd be fucking pissed, man.
No, anybody got time for that, man. So then next was Chucky.
Well, actually I'm going out of order because it was all over the place. Like I went to the Harry Potter stuff and you know, all the little stuff, but, Chucky is, I'm very certain that this also exists in USJ. I even saw people talking about it on Twitter just in general. But it's a single line maze, but whatever. You have to go through it. And it's just actors are jump scaring the fucking shit out of you by like there's a room that's all hospital beds and bunk beds. And a lot of them are really convincing fake dummies. And a couple are real people that like jump or lunge at you. With the highlight of the whole thing being at the very end, you get to a point where an actor pushes you towards a door that won't open and starts screaming that you can't get out as an actor shows up behind you dressed as Chucky with a chainsaw and runs at the group only for you to get pushed through a side door and then hear that person get horribly murdered.
Right, yeah, that's always a good
and one. After you leave that and you go into like the nice like, hey, go check out Cult of Chucky, like little... like last room before the exit, which is all really well lit and calm and has nice music. Like one of the movie billboards is fake and an actor rips it open and like goes to stab you and scares you. It's fantastic. But probably the most interesting thing there, and I really, really don't think this is ever going to be in the US because it's about Sadako, is the Terminator 2 Sadako experience, which, okay, Matt and I have both. He's been to the American one, I've been to the Japanese one. We've gone to the very old style Terminator 2 live show, which has a lady in red talking all sorts of great shit about Cyberdyne, and then it goes to like a 3D like action show with 3D glasses where John Connor comes out on a motorcycle and all this stupid shit, and the actor who plays John Connor is like 45 and all that crap. This is the same and led to, because we were in Japan, and an extreme length of confusion in which we're like, did we rock into the wrong fucking show at 8:30 and the park's going to close?
Yeah.
And everything goes totally normal, including the speaker just, hey, mugging for the crowd. Where are you guys from? Oh, you're from Fukuoka. Oh, wow. Oh, you guys smell. Whatever.
Do people from Fukuoka smell?
I don't know.
Okay.
Only for the video system to glitch out and show the ring. And I've never actually seen the video of the original ring. It's not quite as threatening. But at some point, the entire system fails and the lights go out and everyone disappears. And you see this. This is such a nice little detail. The staff that is like you know, helping people to their seats.
Yeah.
One by one, they freak out, run out of the auditorium and get killed. Like,
solid.
Out of view, so that you're left with no staff at all in the entire auditorium.
Yeah.
Huge blast of mist. Sadako comes out, and they use what I think was 5 or 6 different actresses and a completely pitch black room and spotlights to imitate her teleportation. So they would have the actors walking on their marks, and you couldn't see shit unless a spotlight was going.
Right.
So they would just switch spotlights, and all of a sudden she would bamf to different areas of the arena, in some cases appearing in the crowd or directly next to people or stuff like that.
Nice, nice.
It's so cool. I would love to see more like actual crossover events in theme parks.
Those types of setups are the kinds that sound like they either work perfectly or they're the worst.
Yeah.
Because you just
it's a way better show than the Terminator one. It's way, way more effective because it uses just actors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Instead of like really, really bad 3D.
It's 4D.
And though it's not Halloween based, I should say that I don't know if there's one out in Universal Studios Orlando, but I took the actual scariest thing there was just a roller coaster at the Jurassic Park thing because it uses a new roller coaster trick that I've never seen before, which
they drop you out and then catch you like what?
Almost. So it's called the Flying Dinosaur, which is a really lame name, and it's just got a pterodactyl on the front. Yeah. It does two things that I've never seen. One is that it's a typical leg hanger, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you strap in your whole body and your legs hang.
Yeah.
But this one, they actually strap your legs in as well. So you're like in a manacled like Iron Maiden. You're not going nowhere.
Okay.
The reason why is that once you sit in and you're strapped all the way in. By the way, you get to see people screaming their asses off at this, and you see the gimmicks that you're about to encounter.
Uh-huh.
I was giggling nervously to the point where the like 16-year-old Japanese girl next to me looks at me and goes, "Are you scared?" And I go, "Yeah." And all of her friends laugh. I'm like, "Okay, great. I must look really brave right now." But the little girl is so. Right before the ride starts, it flips you horizontal so that you stare at the floor. And the entire roller coaster is done horizontal. You're not vertical at any point.
Oh, Jesus.
You're going so that the feeling is that you're going up.
Okay.
The whole, like, the top of your head is forward.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
you're staring at the ground the whole time. Yeah. You don't get to see the horizon at all. And it also means that you can't see the
what's
track
coming up
in front of you very well.
So you just fucking feel it as it happens. Yeah.
And so the part, you know, the huge climb that you would experience in a roller coaster, before the big drop, you're like almost completely inverted.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay.
And you can see the people behind you in the machine.
Okay. Okay.
So that's pretty great. Lots of loop-de-loops, yada, yada. There is a really, really hard loop that hits you with some G's and, like, your cheeks blow back, like, level. Mm-hmm. And you're grabbing it and you just... It's the one that got me to really scream because it's, like, it's pushing on your chest. You feel it.
You get that Total Recall going?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what it does, and I saw a warning for this before, so I'm glad I read the warning because there's all the, hey, don't come on here if you have heart conditions. Don't come on here if whatever. And there's a specific warning, just like, if you have a problem with this part of the ride, do not ride the ride. And I understand why they put that. So it is the biggest loop-de-loop, and you're upside down, and the fucking track goes into an 8x8 foot black hole in the ground.
Oh, Jesus. Wow, that's a bad one.
That is just...
Oh, and you see it coming up?
Yeah, you see it about 1 second before you go. And maybe 2 seconds.
Oh, that'll ruin some people.
And it is just pure darkness.
Yeah, no.
It's completely unlit.
No.
And it is just wide enough for the roller coaster.
Oh,
and so you see it and then just... black, and it feels like you died.
That's the tap out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the last big bump right before the end.
I love that. That sounds... I'm so in on that, but I can 1,000,000% see a lot of people being like, fuck you, hole in the ground.
And I imagine that's actually why they
get out of here, Junji Ito.
That particular like gimmick is why they're strapping your legs in and why there's a height exception on it. This is a ride that's like you can't be under this, but you also can't be over this.
Yeah,
because you need a full inch of clearance no matter what,
so that you don't get decapitated like that fucking New Jersey fun park.
Yeah, and the fun part, the way you know that the roller coaster is going to be good is when it's the only ride in the entire park that they ask you to check your shoes.
Yeah, okay.
Before you get on.
Nice.
They go, "Your shoes tight?"
Yeah.
Why?
Nice. The hole was made for you.
Oh, man. It's good. Getting caught in a typhoon sucks. Universal Studios is great. Japan's great. I love being there.
While you're no Mu sightings at USJ?
What's that?
Nomu didn't show up at any point?
Nomu did not show up at any point.
Okay.
Unfortunately. It's a bummer.
They got to work on that.
Before we get into games, I should ask Wooly. Hey, Wooly, you went on a trip and got to see the Mind Stone in person.
I did.
Tell me about the bearer.
Actually, I wanted to preface this earlier, and I completely forgot. But just out of nowhere, I'm gonna be throwing up a sort of poll about the podcast on Twitter.
Oh, this is the wrong part. You should have started with this.
I know, but the problem is if it's so far at the end, then people are not gonna hear it.
No, but you should start it.
But if it's so far at the
anyway, so Willie's gonna ask you some questions about what kind of underwear you like.
I mean, you can let me know, you don't have to, but I just have some. I'm curious. poll about podcast stuff. I'm gonna ask because you know, when that website went down, a lot of people went with it. So we want to figure out what's going on, and we have the SoundCloud. So
I know what's going down. People went to go to read their podcast on the website, and the website was down. And I went, okay,
and life went on. Yeah,
I guess they all died or something.
Yeah. So you know, but anyway, though, yeah, man, this week, I guess before going on my trip, I played some more Darkest Dungeon because I don't know, but every once in a while, I just get it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one that comes back. I'm like, I need to go out from the Hamlet and just fucking see what's going down and see what changes they've made, see what new classes have come. But in the meantime, I just want to do one of those runs again, you know, and I was so like, oh, my God, like, what are my bearings? I forgot what building was what. Yeah. You know, and I was like, okay, this class, your deal is this. But then, like, after, like, two battles, I'm like, I'm 100% back in. Like, I totally, like, I'm like, yeah, all these little, like, this stat screen and your equipment screen is really complicated.
Have you ever beaten it?
No.
Okay, so, yeah, I was just thinking, it's like, oh, it's like Wooly's XCOM. And I'm like, wait, I played 94 hours of XCOM 2 and have never even come close to beating
the game. No. And one of the hardest things about the game is it comes later, where when you have someone that's too strong for your party, they refuse to go on safer, shitty missions. Mm-hmm. They only go on the fuck you super hard ones that are pretty much guaranteed to kill you.
Unless you have a team of badasses, but you don't. You have one badass
that survived because of luck, and the others are all like scared and fucking almost dead anyway, you know? And so like it's this whole thing of like grinding it to just get that team is hard enough before you can approach the level 6 fucking Darkest Dungeon, you know? So anyway, I love going back to that from time to time, man. It's such a fucking good game, dude. And there's new voice lines coming in every time you go back to as well.
Oh, yeah?
So there's little like bits and pieces that, you know, are enjoyable there. But no, what I did outside of that was went down to Toronto for the Canada Cup 2017. Currently,
you needed to see the Mind Stone in person.
Currently the biggest tournament in Canada, and to see that in person, exactly. So prior to that big event, there was, you know, the tournament itself. I was interested in trying something I'd never tried, so I entered like 5 fucking games, which is like insane.
And you're just like, oh, let's see what's going
to happen. Let's just rush it, so, you know. And like, yeah, the more you enter, the more you can't focus, the more you autopilot everything.
Yeah.
Warm-ups are less effective. Mm-hmm. It's just not a bad idea.
No, you need to wait until January 26th, and then you can get the time in on the real game you have the real shot at.
Oh, everybody knows. Everybody knows, and everybody's waiting, you know. But
Monster Hunter.
Yeah, clearly. But that being said, though, like whatever. You've been hearing me like going on about the character in general. So, I played Street Fighter 4 because they had a Street Fighter 4 tournament. They had a Street Fighter 5, Tekken, Guilty Gear, and Marvel vs. Capcom. So it was all over the place, but it was really cool to see, you know, all the top players and familiar faces coming out from the States and, you know, doing their thing. It was like stacked with killers from every single game. And Canada Cup is also known for throwing like the crazy sick after parties and whatnot. So like it was just a really cool time. We were teaching everybody there's like a game that we call 5-10, which is like, it's such a good game, especially if you like fighting games, where you basically hold your hands out and you have to predict like what the total number of exposed fingers is going to be mm-hmm. by calling out like closed 5, 10, 15 are open. And like you have to win, get it right twice in a row. And like you do crazy shit where you just read the other person's mind. If I say, if I just say like 5 and you open up your hands and I didn't do anything, I fucking set you up. Mm-hmm. And then I like finish it off with like a combo, you know what I mean? And like just all kinds of great shit. So we had fun with like everyone getting drunk doing that. At the actual tournament, it's not surprising, but Marvel was the hypest shit.
So
it fucking blew the roof off the place.
I ended up watching the finals.
Nice.
I caught it later.
Of
Marvel.
Okay.
And that match could not have ended better. Because particularly the commentator's curse, I don't think has ever been more extreme.
Oh, I haven't heard what they were saying.
So the commentator's curse during this moment, when the guy's down one and he's Teemo. Just got his Dormammu.
Yeah.
The commentator says, man, I don't even know what he's going to do. He doesn't look like he has any options left. I don't know. He seems screwed. Only for like 1 second to pass.
Yeah.
And just like.
So like.
That moment made me doubly like disappointed by the production of Marvel, because the game is really great.
It's exceptionally hype when you see shit like that.
And I saw that the fucking wrong Dante was in that fucking match.
Yeah, it was a bunch of crap. No, at the end of the day, like, you know, I'm not talking out of my. I mean, I am talking out of my ass. That's what I do professionally.
Your whole body's an ass now.
But what I'm telling people that I'm like, look, I'm not trying to convince anybody to go spend money where they don't want to. But the gameplay is fucking stellar. Like, I'm not, you know, just making that up. And when Max is saying like this game is super fun, I can't think about anything else but playing it. Mm. He like it's because it really is. So what happened at Canada Cup was there was basically a top eight that consisted of two Canadian players and then 6 Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And like eventually one of the Canadians like dropped out, and Teemo was just the Canadian player that was holding it down. And he's this like 20-year-old kid that's been playing Marvel 3 since he was like 14 or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, whatever the time,
the baby age.
Yeah. And he came around and has been doing like really solid, but like he was like, it was early and he was just getting the basics but stuck with it. And now has just like put the time in to get to this point while still being super young, you mm-hmm. know, and like took out Justin Wong twice, you know, and like just like put on an incredible show with Nova and Dormammu. And
it's one of those things that like we've talked about in the past that like I personally worried about. It's like how like, and I make fun of Smash for it, right? And it's like how long can the same guys keep being top eight? Like I remember back in Street Fighter 4 how exciting it was to see like Gamer Beat come out of nowhere.
Yeah, right? that happens every year in Street Fighter with a Japanese
player. I'm so glad to see like this young, totally new guy just bam come out from nowhere.
I mean the top eight of SF5 has been like for the last couple of years has always been like a couple like an unknown like Japanese player that just shows up and you're like, oh, where the fuck did you come from as well? So there is that going on. But like, yeah, this was super sick because he made it all the way through and then like took the tournament, you know, and like basically defended the Canadian borders, as people say, like
yay.
From the invaders. And like the place exploded with hype because it was just like such a dramatic comeback, you know. The other thing too was they revealed the Mind Stone.
This is actually what I really want.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm really happy that like, because like when I kind of was like paying attention to this stuff and I realized no one's talking about or knows about this Battle for the Stones gimmick. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? People are kind of just like, yeah, there's an official Marvel tournament that's going on. I'm like, but they're handing out Infinity Stones
that have in tournament effects. This is really important.
That you
can
use in the event. You know. And so, like, to recap,
we've talked about it in the past, but let's go for a recap of the stones
context.
Because it's important that we have the context of the other stones before we get to the Mind Stone.
Exactly. So you have to right. So you need to understand that. Okay. So basically, at this premiere event that's going to be happening, seven or six, rather, of the invited players are going to be the winners of previous official MVCI events. Each of those events... Oh, whoopsie-daisy. Hold on a moment.
There. Turn that off.
It's off.
God damn it.
Each of the events is going to lead to a stone that you can get for winning the tournament, right? And what they basically did was at each tournament, they revealed what the stone power does. So the first tournament, the first stone was the space stone they revealed, which lets you control space itself by swapping position with anyone else in the bracket to face a different opponent.
Hey, you're going up against Jay Wong in your bracket, and he beats you every time? No, I'm not. Somebody else's problem
now. I'm fighting Viscant now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
It's like a player counterpick.
So
great.
So you got that. Then you've got the Soul Stone, which is undo a loss. I died? No, I didn't. I'm back.
Going to be extremely strong for people in the loser's bracket.
Right. Again, which is exactly like what the stone
does. And even more dominant for people in the winner's bracket.
It's exactly what it does in real life. Yeah. Or rather, in the game.
Yeah, in real life?
In real life, in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Time stone. Stop someone else's stone ability.
Which is probably actually the most valuable stone.
Debatable, but it's incredibly... It's the most honest.
Yeah, it's the one that says, no, I'm going to play a regular tournament. Fuck all y'all.
Yeah. I don't... Fuck your bullshit. You know? There's the you didn't win stone, followed by the, like, no.
No, I won.
I won. Yeah. Then you have the last one was the Power Stone.
So this one's really
incredible. This was incredible, particularly for this game. The Power Stone lets you land the first hit, basically allowing you to start out the match with advantage of doing possibly
2-on-1
set play. Yeah. People hate that word in the community, but
really
the short version of it, it's a complex Japanese concept. Really, it's so dumb, but what it really just means is a sequence that leads to a really hard guess that you have to make that can reset into like
set play isn't that hard of a concept. It's like it's your combo, but not your combo. Your set is the combo, like a combination for boxing.
It's like a paragraph, if you will. Yeah. And at the end of the paragraph, there's a brief moment where
you have a semicolon,
and then my paragraph continues.
Yeah.
You know, or it didn't, but whatever. So anyway, you can do that in this game with the Power Stone by getting the first touch and just taking it all the way.
As far as you possibly can.
And if they never recover, if they never guess right and can't reset out of that, you possibly can take the match momentum, you know?
Immediately.
So that's great.
And then fuck all those!
The reveal.
Teemo has the Mind Stone. I don't know how the Reality Stone can be stronger than this. I don't know how.
Control your opponent's mind by choosing both of their characters and their Infinity Stone.
This is completely busted.
This is
the most busted thing I've ever seen.
It is a free win almost.
Yeah.
Right? I can't see it anyway. And Teemo, the Canadian champ, has the best stone. Like, that's so good.
All you have to do is look at, okay, who are the killers in this tournament? Who do they always talk about who they hate in the game?
So, here's the thing, right? Cut to tweet from Alioun Sensei, one of the best French players, who just has a picture of, like, Frank West and Ryu with the time stone going, time to level up, time to hit the lab.
Yeah, it's...
because it's like, you better get your Ryu Frank West team ready to go. Because what the fuck are you going to do with that?
So,
you know?
with the release of the Mind Stone and how busted the Mind Stone was, I saw something very interesting, which was people that clearly had not paid attention to this gimmick,
yes,
all of a sudden finding out and hating it.
Oh.
And just being like, what the fuck is this gimmick bullshit? This is not a real tournament. This winner's going to be some crap. It's like, it's for the spectators, man.
And
it's fun.
And more than anything, it's marvelous. Marvel. Why wouldn't Marvel have this stupid shit?
Is the Reality Stone like you get to bring a knife and threaten your opponent at the match?
So in the game, reality is by it just makes basically the Planeteer show up and assist you off screen.
Elements.
You're right. So we don't know what
the you know what it's gonna be?
Like rain.
You have a coach and he's allowed to like dump water on the opponent at any time during the match and then hit a fan.
Yeah, blow dryer in the face. That's fucking great. Right now the Mind Stone looks like fucking incredible.
It's like you erased one of my losses, one of your losses. Okay, that's fine. I'm going to make you pick bullshit again.
So one of the most enjoyable things too was with the conversation is like people like trying to guess what they think the worst characters in the game are, not having a clue. You know, where someone's like, oh, yeah, man, like pick like fucking, I don't know, Rocket Raccoon and Arthur. And it's like, are you out of your mind?
That's a really strong team, isn't it?
You don't know. You have no idea. Pick like Morrigan and fucking Firebrand. It's like, you really don't know.
Dude, it's so like, I want Teemo to take it because he's one of our boys for sure. But at the same time, I want his use of the Mind Stone at some point to just backfire on him. It's like, oh, you accidentally picked my super secret alternate team.
Well, that's it. We were like, we were laughing at the idea that the person who gets it then wins the set or wins the match, and like that pop off is the most deserved pop off in the history.
So here's a question that hasn't been answered to my knowledge, and I think that it's really important, and that is, when you beat a stone owner, if and when you beat a stone owner in the tournament, do you get their stone?
I believe in the final event, yes.
Does that mean that you're going to have like...
you're allowed to hold up to three.
They're going to have a 3v3 combination of these playing against each other?
I think... So
you have the guy with the power stone that picks your team for you and then erases his losses?
So it's... like it's fuck. Like basically, when after all of this happened, these events go down and the stones are handed out. They're gonna have the finals, and in the finals tournament, you have the ability to bend the rules with these stones.
Okay.
And I believe that you acquire a stone by beating a stone holder. And I believe you can hold up to three. I think that's what it is.
That's bananas,
so,
man.
It's
so obviously these guys are going to end up being different seeds,
and it's going to be pretty much happening at the same time as the Capcom Cup. So like,
that's crazy.
This is going to be fucking wild. I can't.
Why didn't they put this shit in that fucking infomercial tournament fucking thing they put out?
Oh, because that fucking someone got like drunk and just fucking unlisted of made a video public that shouldn't
fucking
have been.
Whoops.
What are you gonna?
Man, that's great. That's good shit.
But yeah, man. So that was going on there with Marvel and that's it. We were saying the other blow up is you force them to pick their bullshit team and then they win it, and then it's like the next game it's like, yeah, I'm keeping this team actually.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep it. this team worked really well for me.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, so that was really sick at Canada Cup. The other thing that happened, you want to talk about fucking Mind Stone bullshit?
Got it. What happened?
So this weekend, someone fucking cheated, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a way that fucked over a lot of people. And
I did not hear about this. Tell me now.
Basically, but the grander scheme is like a problem, because here's what happened. Okay, at some point during the tournament, there's a player named Quackbot.
Mm-hmm.
He placed like I think third in Marvel 3 at Evo.
That's great,
right? He's
a killer.
Is someone that they know. People who have played and know this guy. He entered the fucking tournament,
mm-hmm.
went up on stream,
mm-hmm.
lost,
mm-hmm.
right, and then later in a different pool, went up on stream again and played someone else. And everyone was like, what the fuck? With a different name? what just happened here.
Did he go up with a different name?
And he did, in a different pool at a different time.
Which means somebody entered for him and they just used their spot.
And basically, like, you know, they saw this guy go up there twice and he only got caught because he was on stream.
And there were so many eyes watching. You go, hey, what the fuck? This guy was here a few hours ago.
Right. So everyone goes, what's going on? And then the excuse is, oh, yeah, no. Well, my girlfriend entered, but then her stick broke. So I'm
no, that's not how it works, motherfucker. That's bullshit.
Okay. Right. So...
If that's the case, why doesn't Justin Wong enter 180 times?
So this fucking guy...
And play pools against himself.
So this fucking guy, right, does that. But the second time he goes through the bracket, like, he creates a fucking shift that, like, people lose to him, go to losers. People, and the person who wins moves on and got out of his pools and, like, qualified for, top 16. Mm-hmm. Or top eight, even rather. And when it got discovered, they had to basically run it all back.
Oh, yeah. The bracket's tainted.
And it was fucked because this guy basically was like, are you, like, seriously, there's nothing we can do? And, like, no. And
because if he beats somebody and sends that guy to losers, which he is in, and then beats them again, that's nonsense. That person got single eliminated.
Like, he's lucky enough that he didn't have to fight himself at some point. But, like, well, here's what happened,
right?
Oh,
that would've been great.
He fucking... So he lost to this guy, and then that player went on to beat another guy in winner's finals and got out. Mm-hmm. When they ran it back, they had to fucking... The winner's finals players had to play each other again, mm-hmm. and this time the guy who won lost. And he just got fucked over completely because this piece of shit.
That's nonsense.
This piece of shit just did what he did, right? And so
that's really unfortunate, but you have to run the bracket back.
And so the explosive part of this now is the idea that it's like he only got caught because he was on stream.
How many people are actually doing this?
What does this mean for people that are, like, not on stream? You mm-hmm. know what I mean? How simple is it, right?
And I imagine it's actually extremely simple.
And then, like, the thought goes back to, like, wait, hold on a minute. Evo, giant-ass bracket, dude got third, and apparently has said that he's done this before.
Yeah.
So then it becomes, what happened here? And, like, I mean, you know, people are still investigating, people are investigating and figuring shit out, but it seems entirely plausible that what happened was this motherfucker signed up for, like, eight or so brackets
yeah.
with different names, waited for the pools to get seated, mm-hmm. saw who was in which pool, and then just checked in for the easiest pool.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how he made it through.
It's worse than that, because let's assume it's Quackbot, right? Let's assume he has access to even just two more people willing to run this, right? Assuming they only do four, you can do 12 or even 16, right? Different entrants. You could fill up an entire seed with garbage.
Yeah.
And win trade your way to the top 64 or something to start.
The equivalent of fake Twitter followers and bots, you know what I mean? And the thing is that, like, yeah, so you're like, what defenses do you have? And it's like, okay, well, there's real name registration.
Yes.
But that doesn't work if a real person that's not you decides to create an account and do it, mm-hmm. you know? Like, if you are going in with multiple of your own names...
I'm going to pay 30 hobos to fill up this bracket with garbage
yeah.
so that I can get to top 64.
Yeah. So, so I'm going in as Billy. Now I'm going in as Will. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going in as William. Now I'm going in as Bob. Robert, like, whatever. Yeah. And it, like, who knows? But the point is that, like, the idea that you can... Like, even without getting a second life, because getting a second life here is obviously full of shit. And he got lucky because he was able to go into a bracket at a different time from
him.
But if they all happen to be at the same time, you still get to option select the easiest pool and just play your odds there, mm-hmm. you know? And so that then made me go, like, holy fuck, how do you actually stop people from doing this?
Step one is real name registration with ID checks upon showing up to the brackets. That cuts down on most of the problem.
Yeah.
It doesn't cut down on the problem of you and your buddies intentionally, like, colluding and win fixing.
No.
But that's way harder than just doing it by yourself.
Yeah, fingerprints and fucking eyeball scanners at the bracket.
No, just use the driver's license or company.
Sure,
yeah,
no, obviously. But, and like, you know, now you're after, now, and now I'm just thinking about the, like, The time that like people are running late and they have to like fucking go like, you know, they have to hustle, like tournament bracket runners and or and TOs are like gods at like just getting time, spending time efficiently. Mm-hmm. And when you're calling in people and your people are checking in, you just get through a crowd really fast. It's mm-hmm. a skill you have to learn by doing a couple of events, yeah. you know? And it's one that like, I was like, holy shit, I was so garbage at it at first. Mm-hmm. And by the end, like when I was good at it, it cut. You can save like 45 to an hour.
Oh yeah, it's a skill, know? Not a talent. You learn it.
And so now the idea that you got to sit there and fucking DMV people, you know what I mean? You got to stare at their license and registration to make sure that they're who they say they are mm-hmm. on the check-in thing is just a complete. It's now a necessary waste of time mm-hmm. because some fuck.
Oh yeah,
you know, just ruined everything because hey, right? It's easy. Why not mm-hmm. get that money? Right? So. Yeah, I'm like,
well, step one actually is not the ID. Step one is Quackbot is banned forever from everything.
Well, I mean, you know, that's a given.
You're like, he might as well have been like sabotaging people's controllers to the degree of like level of cheating.
It would be like, he is like, you could almost make an argument to say like, how many years should this be if he got caught at the check-in? Mm-hmm. But the fact that the bracket ran through and then different results occurred because of you.
It's like, oh, good thing. Good thing for giving us the test case of exactly how hard we need to come down on this.
You can go fuck yourself. Yeah. And the guy who it happened to, unfortunately, you know, he put out a tweet basically just going, this is how it happened. You know, this is he felt like obviously fucked over and he was just mentally so drained by the situation and so upset with like, you know, the ruling that they made, because there's arguments to go the other way. Like for example, like...
Him having to replay that match in its... Like, let's assume that he was going to get back up to that match no matter what, yeah. right? The other guy has a concrete advantage against him because he lost the first
to
time.
To him. And the guy who lost the first time was like, he's like, he felt really shitty about it, right? He's
oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, but... Like the guy, but the, you know, the dude who made it out was basically just like, yeah, like, you know, like James Chen and like Outchamp and some of the other players were arguing. They're saying like, well, in theory, if he beat the guy above the guy who cheated, mm-hmm. then he still made it out because he still won,
yeah.
you know? And they're like, whatever. It just wouldn't.
The simplest and easiest to understand is like the bracket is tainted. We have to redo it over.
And so anyway, like. He basically as a
that's
result
a massive fuck up Jesus
and Christ. As a result of that that player was just like, I'm done with these events. I can't like the mental, like the fact that he's like, because his next match after getting out of his pools was Jay Wong, and he's like, I was preparing for to fight Justin Wong, and like after this I'm just like, I can't.
And I got eliminated via bureaucracy,
so he's done.
Reminds you know? Me of in high school, I remember I failed an exam because I got a 63 on it, and then the curve graded it down to 59.5.
Oh my God.
And I felt absolutely fucking robbed. Like, it just like...
That's
because I got the result back. It was like, I passed, fucker. I did it.
This test
was hard as shit. And it's like, nope. Because of the teaching disparities. And yeah, I understand why the curve works now. But at the time, I was like, oh, like I couldn't, mm-hmm. like I felt like it had been stolen from me.
Of course, of course. And I guarantee you that the person who, that in somewhere else that was at a 59 that got up to a 63 felt nowhere near as bad, like not as, like the equivalent.
Nowhere near as good in equivalence.
In equivalence, yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
they've relieved, sure.
You went minus 80 and they were like probably like plus 10, you know? Because as we discussed before, you know, taking things away from people feels way worse.
Well, than
giving them things. Yeah. So you want to win $10 or lose $20?
I'd rather win $10.
Yeah.
That's why you should buff instead of nerfing characters. Just buff them all. Just keep buffing. Mm. You play anything else other than that?
I mean, I'm still working on Metroid and other stuff, but yeah.
Well then I do have some more to talk about. I thought we were going to talk about Mario Odyssey.
I couldn't. I didn't have the ability to.
Before we do that, Mario Odyssey is a real short one. Guess what? Mm-hmm. It's Mario 64 too. It's amazing. It's astonishing. It's the best Mario game since Mario 64. It's the best. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's the absolute fucking shit. Mm-hmm. There's only one minor quibble I have, boy, there's a lot of Power Moons. Like, there's an astonishingly high. I think there are more. Well,
take Mario game and insert new item type and go, like, collectibles. There's going to be a bunch of these.
I think there are more Power Moons in the first four stages of Odyssey than there are stars in the entirety of Mario 64.
That's fucking insane.
There are 47.
Wow.
In the goddamn Mexico area.
Yes.
It's wow. And by the way, the stage does not end when you get most of them. So, like, you're going back to the Odyssey and dumping like 25 into your ship at once.
Wow. Okay.
Like, there are a billion, and you don't need very many to go on.
Oh, there's a ship to return to.
The Odyssey.
I see. Okay.
It's so good.
I hear.
It's just so
that clip of Matt turning into a T-Rex and just running off a cliff was really, so really good. Enjoyable.
I also played a bunch of Assassin's Creed Origins, and I have good news for everybody. The PC version is actually pretty good. It has really high CPU requirements, but it also has a in-game option to manually limit the frame rate to 30, just like the consoles, and it has good frame pacing, so it feels good. Mm-hmm. Looks real nice. This is closer to Witcher than it is to Assassin's Creed by far. Like, it is less like an Assassin's Creed game and more like an open world RPG than ever. It has Dark Souls combat. I don't know if you knew that.
What? Like
R1 and R2 are light and heavy attack. L1 is block.
I know they revamped it, but I didn't catch that part. Wow.
Yeah, and it's okay. All hitboxes and shit.
Assassin's Creed is good again.
Very little vertical progression because it's Egypt and not that much stuff is all that tall. Mm-hmm. A lot more riding around on your horse. Stealth is actually a big deal. Like, there's a lot of stealth mechanics. And the total loss of the mini... You know the Ubisoft, like, mini-map vomitorium of, like, I climbed the tower. Now my map exploded.
Beep, 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 beep.
Completely gone.
Awesome.
When you climb that tower, you get a view of the area and it fills in the map. Yeah. And it increases your Falcon's perception. And that's it.
Oh, that's great. I was talking to someone else that played it this weekend. And yeah, they also basically just said, oh, yeah, it's like The Witcher.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's absolutely great. With one notable caveat, which is the first hour of the game is complete nonsense and makes no sense at all. Like, it is the most jarring in media res thing I've ever seen ever, in which it's... oh, look, your guy looked at the Pharaoh, and then it flash cuts to him being tortured like crazy, and then it flash cuts to him with a huge beard murdering some guy, yelling about some bullshit, and you don't know why, and then it takes like an hour and a half, 2 hours for like the flashback that includes the thing to actually occur. And once that does, it totally makes sense. He's on a revenge quest like every other Assassin's Creed character. But... yeah, no, it's super good. It's really, really, really
awesome.
Good.
Awesome, good. Because I mean, it's obvious, but like the biggest bummer when like something like 3 happens, right, is that like, you know, as much as like people like really didn't enjoy it outside of the sailing, it taints a really cool setting. Because I still feel that like the native setting with the
American
Connor
wilderness
and
stuff like that
is really awesome.
Oh, it's super cool.
And it sucks that got ruined. So I like that. That's not happening here.
And also, it also has like a structure that's really baffling because like there's no collectibles anymore. By the way,
whoa,
that's gone.
Has that been gone since? Like,
no, this is the new one. There are no collectibles anymore.
Wow. Okay.
Like you will loot guys and you'll loot chests for weapons.
But you're
and stuff
not
like
fucking.
And you'll
climbing.
hunt enemies like you would in a Far Cry game to upgrade your like range damage or something like that. But they've all been replaced by side quests or like the hippo watering hole where you kill the super hippo and then that area is just done.
That's so surprising.
And the map is clean. Like you look at it and it's like you have the Skyrim style compass with the question marks.
Yeah.
And you go to them and oh, it's a little base. I'm going to kill the captain. I'm going to loot the place. And then you're done. And in addition to that, you know how you level up?
Yeah.
On the map, there's like 14 to 20 zones and they have level indicators on them. Like this area has 1 to 5 enemies. This area has 36 to 40 enemies.
Oh.
Don't go. And if you go up again, there's an area of bandits in the very first area in the game that when you go up to them, they all have red skulls above their heads.
Yeah.
And you go to do an assassinate on them and it shows that it will only take off 1% of their health bar.
Wow. Okay.
And you go,
yep,
nope,
got it.
Later.
Yep. And what is it? Is it something where like that just comes down to better weapons?
Yes, it comes down to your level and your like the numerical damage on your weapon.
So it's both then.
Yeah,
because I was gonna say, is it one the other or?
Well, yeah, every level you get your base stats increased.
Yeah, okay.
And in fact, the way they do it with your health bar is actually pretty good because you start with three big pips of your health bar,
yeah.
And every single level an extra pip. That same length gets divided into one extra pip. Mm-hmm. So it goes from 3 pips to 4 to 5, and now I'm up to like 15 or whatever. And same thing with your damage, it goes up. But like, yeah, no, there's absolutely, like there's an area in the main city of Alexandria. I did everything in that city except for that one armory because everyone in there is a red skull and can't even touch them. Can't do nothing.
Can you stealth it?
Yes, and I did. I stole the shit in there
cool.
while stealthing it. But if I had to kill anyone, I wouldn't have been able to.
But I like that. But the option, it might as well be game over if you get
stealth
caught.
Stealth actually works in this game too. Cool. Like there's a really clear distinction between totally hidden and not hidden at all. And the reason that works is because enemy sight lines appear to be like 100 feet and like a
cone,
like a 120 degree cone, like it, they can see you really easily.
Mm.
So actually hiding, whistling, stabbing guys, carrying, it's great. It's just great.
Does light finally matter?
No.
Damn.
No, you're hidden or you're not.
Okay.
All right. You're hidden or you're not.
It might make the game too hard, so I do understand that part. But like,
well,
it's something that it like, believe it or not, the fucking Thiaf game, like yeah. that, like light play was pretty
interesting. I think that works really well in a game like Thiaf. But I think in most games that have a day-night cycle, it works terribly because it just encourages you to do every single mission at night. Which, like, hey, guess what? It's Egypt. This place looks great during the day.
Yeah, I know.
It looks fantastic.
But I mean, like, if it was just like moonlight, daylight, and then like underneath this tree is always a good place to be,
mm-hmm.
then that's fine.
But. No, this one, stealth and invisibility is determined by being in waist-high tall grass.
Okay.
Which
has always been.
Or behind an object.
Yeah.
Which is everywhere.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
Can't hide in sand.
I am very...
Can't fucking dig your ass and ostrich it up. Or
camel,
not.
Dude. Camel. Not ostrich.
No, but you know, the stupid stick your head in the dirt thing.
You know what I actually really love about the animation? It's such a weird little thing. But when you go to run as fast as you can with your camel looks like a fucking... idiot. Like they flop around
real.
Like they're gonna die, and I'm like, that's good, that's a good detail to get in there.
Yeah,
camels can run really fast, but they're bad at it. Like they're horribly built
because their joints are not like a horse's, which has like two opposing like sets of legs for on each side. Mm-hmm. The camel's legs move together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fucking bad at it, for sure.
And this game also has the loot boxes just like Shadow of War does. This game, they're safely ignorable and they don't screw up the game. Whereas I played a lot of Shadow of War on the trip over and trip back.
Yeah.
And the loot boxes in that game have like straight up damaged every part of the game's design. Like every single part of every system, be it leveling, Shadow of War I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Be it leveling, the orc system, the way you get gear, like all of it
mm-hmm.
is designed to feed into a currency system. And the only reason the currency system is there is so that you have to buy
currency.
Like it is, blatant, and everything feels like categorized according to it. That game is damaged. That game is like 2 points worse. Like, say, I'd give the original Shadow of Mordor like a good 8.
Yeah.
This game is like if it was the same quality, it would kick it down to a 6. It's like it's that ever present. It's that pervasive.
How are you dealing with tons of mini buys on a regular basis?
In Shadow of War, rather, it's that everything leads back to the shop.
Whereas on
the main menu, there's always the like, hey, here's the hot new. You hit start.
Yeah.
There's the little things like, hey, there's a hot new deal in the thing. It's the idea of ignoring it is nonsense. Also, in the original Shadow of Mordor, you didn't have weapon or fucking upgrades. You just upgraded your character and you had his sword and his dagger, right? Here there's this massive gear system that serves no purpose because you just upgrade to the highest level item that you have, period. And then you have to dismantle them. Why? So you can get currency. Why? So you can upgrade your base. Why do you upgrade your base? So you can do the defense missions. But oh no, but then I won't have enough for that. Like,
so the interesting thing about this is that like we had Plague on while you were gone, and he was talking about how you can completely ignore them and just play the game and never look at it once.
Yes.
So
until you get to like that final act where it gets really grindy. But the idea, like the thing is, you can't, how do I put this? You can't ignore its influence. Like, you can't ignore that the weapon system has changed to facilitate this. So Dead Space 3 is a good example, where Dead Space 3 went from having core regular weapons in the existing Dead Space series, like a plasma cutter or a line cutter, mm-hmm. and then Dead Space 3 had the mix and match weapon part things that mm-hmm. used resources. Like, even if you ignored all the microtransactions, you can't ignore that the entire weapon system was changed to suit the microtransactions.
Right.
And it's the same here. Like, the way recruiting orcs works is really slow and tedious. Why? Oh, so that you can get the box. The way that upgrading your fort takes a billion coins, basically. Why? So, oh, and just everything. Mm. So even if you ignore all of it, the damage from that mm-hmm. is still felt in like almost every system.
And, yeah, and I like it, I there's something like you know, because rare things are worth this, then like you get lots of junk is like a very basic.
And well, what do you use the junk for? Well, you melt it down into component coins, basically. Okay. And then it's just,
whereas Ask Credo,
oh, it's easy. It's actually totally easy to completely ignore it, and you constantly get new decent stuff. Hmm. And it doesn't. Like, you hit start and it's not there. There's like, you know, you hit your select menu and there's map, inventory, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
The last one at the right is store.
Yeah.
But after that, you don't, like, I only looked at it out of curiosity. It never sends you there.
I feel like people, like, because you know the basic, like, psychology that goes into when you make someone convert real money into a fake currency,
that's right.
They feel less bad about spending it.
And yes, so because the fake currency isn't real. So they spend it later, they have less of the
thrifty. Your thriftiness is not there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And whatnot. Like you'll easily be like, ah, no, who cares? Whereas
it's real just 300 money, fun bucks.
You're taught to be frugal. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I feel as if as time goes on and we get exposed to fake currency more, there's a like brain thing that's happening for fake currency numbers mm-hmm. that is making people not as like not get tricked by it.
It's
in that
wearing
way.
Off a little.
It's wearing off is kind of what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And I think like you can like we're starting to see like currency switches that are like three steps obfuscated mm-hmm. where you'd be like, you don't just go buy that item and you don't just buy the currency to buy that item. You buy the type of currency that helps with this particular type of orb.
The worst one.
Or there's a free free currency, and you know what I mean? And then you have different prices on an item and whatnot.
The worst one is that Forza thing where what game is it? It's the next Forza game. I forget the name.
What was the situation?
Where it's like you buy you fucking spend money to buy currency to buy boxes that open up like challenges that unlock things.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And fuck, I think it was Jim that said their term the phrase like buy to earn.
the
And it's just like it's the worst of all worlds.
That's super gross. But like in particular the bit of it where it's focusing where I'm going to talk about is like how you put it so many steps separated that you feel like by that point the person might not realize or they'll perhaps forget mm-hmm. or whatever. And it's like, nah, man, everyone can straight up see where money dollars lead to this thing. And as the more we get exposed to different versions of it, the less people are, the less it's working. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel like, to some degree, we're hitting this thing where every once in a while, a AAA game will just push it a bit too far, bit too far, and then fly way the fuck past comfort zones.
It was really eye-opening for me to play Shadow of War.
And then the blowback happens.
And then Assassin's Creed Origins, one after the other.
Yeah.
Because in pre-release, in the lead-up, they both had the same problem. They both of their loot boxes unlocked the same things, weapons and extra skins and shit like that. But to see one so nakedly integrated with the design as to like damage the gameplay with Shadow of War, and the other just like actually tucked off to the side mm-hmm. for the people that want to blow like $5 on the extra fancy coat mm-hmm. or whatever, like it was like, if you're gonna do it like Origins. It's fine. I can live with that. But Shadow, I got to the I beat the first like fortress in Shadow of War and then just stopped. Because I was like, okay, I've actually seen everything this game has to offer because it's just going to be four more of these to trick me into think I'm getting value when they're all actually the same. All the areas are actually the same. There's no actual difference. They don't have any enemy type variety at all. And it's just like, you know?
I got a really good segue for you, but first I got to see a man about a horse.
All right.
So you if can you hold it down?
I can hold it down.
All right, hold it down.
What? You're going to go see a horse? The correct answer to that was nay. That is stupid. Hey, everybody. Wooly's gone. So I want everyone to tune in to the channel the week of December 9th. I'm going to say that December 10th, 11th, or 12th, we're going to be putting up some Monster Hunter beta videos, assuming the beta goes well. And I will be screaming at Wooly to get his feet wet with that. Hopefully the Marvel thing will have helped ease him up on Monster Hunter so far. But that online beta got announced at the Paris show a few hours ago. It's going to be December 9th for PS Plus people. So I'm really, really, really excited for that. It's kind of a shame there's no online beta for the PC. But, I mean... it'll come out eventually. Hey, Wooly, what's up? How was your horse?
It was good. What was going on with the what?
I was talking about the Monster on our online beta.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's December 9th.
They're
gonna have a
But she's already out though.
No, for PS Plus people, you'll be able to play a beta for probably is that a Sunday or something like December 9th? Well, you'll be able to play it for a couple days. Which I think that game... So Monster Hunter games desperately need demos, and some of the demos have been good, and some of the demos have been really bad. And
Is it so that you see the new monsters? Is it that you fight the old monster, and you compare it?
It's so that everyone who doesn't know what the fuck Monster Hunter is can go, oh, wait, that's actually cool, kind of. And I think it's actually really important that this one gets an online beta so that people can... specifically online so that people can play with their friends and like be like, oh, wait, this is a fun thing. Especially since the demos cut out all the tedium, all the gathering and all the resource management, and they just have you pick a weapon and go.
So for humans in nature, is that a thing?
No. What now?
That's what she says in the game. I don't know. She yells it out when you do your super.
Who what?
Monster Hunter.
Oh.
She yells for humans in nature.
Whatever, man. They shouldn't be speaking. You know what she should be saying? Like, that's what she should sound like.
No, she says, what a good hunt. Now let's return to camp.
That's one of those, like... that's one of those, like, stupid asshole purist things that I can't believe they actually included in World, is that it's going to have full localized voice acting for whatever your region it is, but you can also turn it back to the garbage non-language that they used to speak.
Everybody
that, like, it's not Simlish, but it's Monster Hunter equivalent of Simlish. Everybody I know that plays Monster Hunter is going to turn it back to the garbage language. Because hearing them actually speak a real thing that you have to pay attention to, like, no, I don't care what you have to say, Guildmarm. I want to read your text and imagine your cadence.
Okay,
or whatever.
That's cool. But what you're saying is, like, when I do the big cool dagger super, she doesn't actually yell. The demon is out.
The Monster Hunter is totally silent, aside from the grunt noise when they get rocked by something.
I don't know how I feel about that.
The only in Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate and stuff like that, to my knowledge, the only English voice in that entire game is tasty when you do a properly grilled steak. That's the steak lady.
She puts the barrel down and then it blows up and she goes tasty as she jumps away. And then she does her little like punch combo and goes like, "You sure this isn't G rank?
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's cool.
Wait, you're even doing it right.
And she does the
Yeah, that's a terrible shitty emote in the game.
And the punches hit you if they touch you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's just great.
I'm a fan.
G rank's gonna be DLC for sure, instead of an expansion.
So, but where I was going is that if you want to talk about like fucking, you know, world of loot boxes and you know,
shit like that,
mini buys and DLCs and all that, we can go to the source or one of the main reasons pushing that shit forward, because, you know, for all the greed and all the bullshit that Paul Marketing does, sometimes there's a force behind him, a wind, if you would,
yes,
at his back. Mm-hmm. And this week, that wind is GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about this shit?
I've heard about like four or five different GameStop things this week. So you're going to have to be more specific.
We'll get into it.
Is this their rental shit?
This is the Power Pass.
The Power Pass.
But first we should take a quick word from our sponsors. How about that tease?
Huh? We should.
What a pro.
What a pro. This pro guy. Let's see if he can get through without his voice falling apart this time.
Oh, you fuck. Damn it. Shit.
What?
It's true. My voice is falling apart.
I saw the footage of you like jumping up and down at that Marvel. You clearly damaged your voice.
But it's also like, dude, I can toss a coin up and like fucking see if sleeping in a hotel room would lead to me having a sore throat.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, you know how they're just fucking freezing all the time?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I like it cold, but then it means I'm waking up with a sore throat and I can't do anything about that.
I have taken to like on flights in particular. Like, I went to Japan with my girlfriend and my friend Fuggins, right?
Yep.
Girlfriend and I did something. Friend Fuggins did not. And it's the instant you sit down in that airplane seat, get your hand sanitizer out, everything in your vicinity, wipe it down.
Sure.
Every single. And guess what? Guess who didn't get sick and who did?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah. My friend got sick. He got horribly ill.
Upon landing or on the way back?
Like the first day after waking up back here.
Wow.
Just sick.
That's some good tech.
It's like, think of it as a bus seat you're going to sit in for 13 hours. That you're going to eat off of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's some good fucking tech. Holy shit. Half a day. Well, anyway, what you do want to do while you're on a long flight is look your best. Look sharp. And you've already heard me talk about the tech that is Dr. Carver's shave butter.
I have.
Do you remember the source that provides Dr. Carver's shave butter?
That's Dollar Shave Club, I believe.
Damn straight. When you're in on the membership, you're in on the cool club that hooks you up with all the shaving tools you need on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
You don't gotta fucking deal with the crooks and criminals down at the pharmacy that treat you like a crook and a criminal too.
You know, I've been using like shards of smashed onyx.
I mean,
to cut my beard, and it's not been working lately.
I mean, that sounds pretty badass, but at the end of the day, everyone kind of looks at it and goes, "Dude, you're a mess."
Yeah.
Right. And that nice little pharmacy lady that goes like, "Thank you, have a nice day." Mm. She's actually treating you like a piece of shit when you go in to try and buy your razors.
Yeah,
that's right. You don't want that garbage. Forget that lady.
Mm-hmm.
Dollar Shave Club. That's what's up. So basically, Dollar Shave Club, you join and they hook you up with what you need. They got razors, they got body cleanser, they got hair gel now. They've even got butt wipes, dude. They got you covered. So if you want to head on over to dollarshaveclub.com/friendcast, you can get your starter set for just $5 at dollarshaveclub.com/friendcast, including you're getting your great travel. You have travel size versions of your Dr. Carver shave butter, body cleanser, even the butt wipes and so on for travel butt wipes, dude. What are you doing back there?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Just letting it sit.
Nope. Can't be doing that.
Yeah. Who's gonna stop me? You gonna stop me?
Some kind of animal, dude.
Yeah, man.
Dude, if you're just fucking. You're just smearing peanut butter around. Is that what you're doing? You can't be doing that.
You really lost me on that one, man.
You gotta get clean.
I'll be real honest. That one flew right over my head.
You gotta be clean. You gotta be clean with it. All I'm trying to say is look sharp, look good, look your best, and do that by signing up to the Dollar Shave Club at dollarshaveclub.com/friendcast. That's dollarshaveclub.com/friendcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Dollar Shave
Club. The Friendcast is also graciously sponsored by the good old boys down at Bluehost.
Ooh, Bluehost.
They know a thing or two about hosting a website, tell you what.
That's what I heard.
That's what I still use to this day. It was pretty cool, actually, when it was like, oh, cool, these guys, yeah, I use that. That's a great service. Bluehost is the top-rated website provider that powers over 2 million websites, everything you've needed and wanted if you wanted to make a site. You don't have to be limited by templates. They've got enough for you if you're a beginner. They've got powerful, customizable templates if you do want to go advanced on it. And, of course, a 99.9% uptime guarantee. You cannot get better than that. Logically, you realistically cannot, right? It's mathematically impossible. So, for maximum security, you've got malware monitoring and protection. All your automatic secure WordPress installs, and of course, the 24/7 tech support and online resources. So, why not choose the best recommended WordPress host since 2005? What are you doing? Choosing not the best recommended WordPress host since 2005. You out of your mind? Bluehost.com/SBFcast. Sign up and save 50%. That's Bluehost.com/SBFcast. Thank you, Bluehost.
Thanks, Bluehost.
So, the GameStop Power Pass.
Let me hear about this. Tell me about
the GameStop Power Pass. Is, to me, when I look at this type of thing, I feel as if, like, I can see the winds of destruction pushing inflating the sales of loot boxes directly.
Tell me about the Power Pass.
I'll tell you about the Power Pass. The GameStop Power Pass has been is a new service that GameStop is announcing, and if you look at GameStop's quarterlies and whatnot, like on how much money they make on their mm-hmm. and so on. Is the number still like above 90%? Is it like 90%?
Oh, it's always been, yeah.
90% of their, or plus, over 90% of their.
And it's why digital sales hurt them so particularly badly, because it cuts out on their supply and demand.
Over 90% of GameStop's money comes from pre-owned game sales.
The fucking margin on used games is like 80% or something. It's enormous.
It's ridiculously huge, especially you think about what they buy them for. And then you think about the fact that because they're the main place that people are returning to, they will sell the same game over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Because people who buy it and then return it, then bring it back and sell it to the same shop. Mm-hmm. So essentially, you get to resell the same
game. Part of the reason why that's so successful is because, honestly, margins on new games are not that great.
So what we're looking at now is pretty much almost like... It's like almost like a way, because some friends I had like had a way, like you join the I think they had their service where it was like you buy a game and then like you had a week, I think, to switch it up or like there's some sort of thing where you could basically just like almost exploit the system by trading in bullshit and like getting everything new free. Mm-hmm. As long as you stayed on top of it by spending very little money by just playing the trade game.
Let me explain how this system works.
Sure.
Because I am one of those
people. So you understand this.
So what it used to be is that GameStop at some point, or actually it was EB Games because we didn't have GameStop here, but it was pretty much everybody. They had a rather generous return policy, which was don't like it, didn't work, return it for credit. Within 14 days. And that was it. That was the entire policy. So you would say buy, I don't know, Zone of the Enders 2, mm-hmm. which would cost $92 Canadian with tax mm-hmm. at the time of its release. You would blow through that fucker in a day. You bring it back. Maybe buy Legacy of Kain Defiance. Mm-hmm. Blow through that fucker in a day. And you could make that $100 go and go and go and go. Mm-hmm. So then they got wise because they saw this and they were like, oh. The reason why I guess it was okay for them is because they were still able to sell the used games for most of the same cost.
Mm-hmm.
And not that big of a loss. So then it became, oh, you can only use that credit on used games, mm-hmm. right? Well, all you do is wait a week after release and just stagger it a little and the same thing worked. And then they said, oh, it's got to be, you can only return used games for credit. And you go, okay, so then you only... And so, and they just kept downgrading it, and people just kept finding the most obvious way around it possible until their return policy got, like, nuked into bullshit. And this looks like to bring back that experience, but with, like, a pass, in that you pay a certain amount of money for 6 months, and you just rent games, basically.
That's what. Well, that's the thing is here. What you're doing is you're turning it into a Blockbuster.
Well, because that's all I was actually doing, at, the way, the if you thought about it.
But what changes here is that you, at the end of that 6 months, have to keep a game.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically purchasing something and then...
Getting all the free time from the other rental stuff.
That, and honestly, then you choose which one to keep.
That seems fine.
I mean, it's clearly like a deal that's going to work for people like going through games and whatnot, obviously. But it's just, you know, you have to think about like...
it's going to work great for us. Who needs to buy games for videos anymore? Just rent the stupid thing.
Right. The whole, the rentals are back, essentially. But the thing is that obviously when you look at it, you just go like, man, I can see some like this type of story... going straight to the dev's desk where it's like, and fuck, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because now, so...
You can't even... Well, here's the thing. Used game sales never went to devs in the first place.
No.
And that was their big... That was a big kerfuffle for a lot of publishers.
Of course. And it's been that way forever. And in some ways, it kind of just goes like, okay, well, here it just kind of makes it even easier, you know, in that way. Yeah. I mean, it's you know...
I'm going to give this a thumbs up, honestly. I count this as a win because this is going to be cheaper for more games for the vast majority of people that want to use it.
Hmm.
Especially those who are like us and will blow through seasonal releases.
It to get into the actual details of it, you spend $60 for 6 months and then you pick up a game.
To keep at the end.
Yeah. You have to keep one at the end. So you're paying basically basically full price for a used game. But like
in the interim, you
get to trade it up.
You get to play pretty much anything that comes out that's used. Yeah.
And yeah, you have to be a part of their power up like rewards program to sign up.
Yeah, but it says you can be a free or paid member. So they just want you on the mailing list.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what they're doing. I
gotta say the price on that is right. $60 for 6 months of rentals. Like I was looking at Bunny Hop breaking it down. Like it actually comes out to like cheaper than you used to spend at Blockbuster by a significant margin in a lot of cases.
Depending on how much you play.
Yes.
It depends greatly.
This is of high value to, I'm going to say, the people listening to this video game podcast.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Right? Like
the place where my concern comes from, I guess, is just that. I'm mainly concerned about the response of a Paul Marketing, you know, to like this type of thing and going like, well, time to double down.
Ah, no. See, there's your mistake. The good Paul Marketing was already doubling down so that you could make more money for the shareholders. Mm-hmm. All external circumstances notwithstanding. Like the idea that say an EA or an Activision or an Ubisoft look at the market and go, oh, the market changed. Now we have to get more money to break even. No, no, no. They changed the market by going, we need to get as much money as we possibly can every single second of every single day.
Because like I see the direct like correlation here. Not even correlation, but like I feel like I can see the line from this to the return of online passes.
Yes, that I can see.
Because that was something that came and fucking died.
Yeah.
A deserved fucking death. And I feel like scared devs and or publishers, I should say, publishers, would be like,
I don't think scared. I don't think publishers would be scared. I think publishers look at this and go, oh, here's a good excuse to put it back in.
Sure.
With no one getting on our balls about it.
Sure. You know what?
And we can use it as a scapegoat.
Yeah, we can play it that way too. That's but if that fucking happens, that sucks.
Mm.
And that's shitty. And in the end, like, I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
So the stimulus towards that to me makes me go, I don't know. I really hope they don't respond in this way.
Yeah, I know. But this is this weird catch-22. It's like You're almost worried about a good thing happening for the consumer because you're afraid that the blowback from the publisher will be so anti-consumer that it'll more than cancel it out. It won't just equalize.
It'll overcompensate.
It'll be worse than it was before.
I feel like overcompensation is the name of the game when it comes to fucking, you know, the state of
honestly the
filling an otherwise fine normal gameplay experience.
Honestly, the ideal situation would be game rentals digitally through the official stores under reasonable prices, because then a cut could go to the developer and the publisher and the content creator and not the content the fucking store owner and stuff like that, right? But that's not going to happen for reasons.
Yeah, I'm gonna be eyeballing this one with like a squint. You know?
Yeah,
just fucking.
But hey, good on GameStop for getting the price right. $60 for 6 months and one game is totally fine, because all it is you bought a game and you got 6 months of rentals with it.
With your game,
I can do a lot with that fucking $60. Although, granted, probably be like 87 or 92 here, but. 15% sales tax is a motherfucker, guys.
I hear you.
You guys in the U.S. with some states have zero sales tax. Can you fucking believe that? Living in a place with zero sales tax.
I can't.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know what that's like. Anyway, it's interesting because, I mean, one thing is certain is that, like, yeah, the death of Blockbuster. Is, or rather, I mean, the supposed death, because apparently there's a couple of them still floating around, opens up GameStop's ability to, like, fucking bunker down on that market, too.
Well, GameStop's got to do what it can to stay alive. Mm-hmm. As the digital, like, they've put out some statements in their quarterlies over the past couple of years and be like, wow, digital's really, it's really taken off. How's our digital store? Not great? Okay.
And you have to think.
Impulse, huh?
Of course. And you know, I mean, when you look at the numbers, I'm sure they just said, okay, so to someone who hasn't been inside a brick and mortar store to buy a game in the last fucking 5 years, we can potentially, I don't know about you, but it's a minute for me. It's been a fucking minute. We could potentially be grabbing, $120 a year. You know, down for that. So
let me fucking think.
And if you do pitch it that way, $120 a year is a pretty steep membership cost. But
if it's as many games as you can eat, that's not that bad.
Because I
definitely spend more than $120 a year on games.
Netflix.
Does it count if I bought the game
or Gamefly for
retail for somebody else? Because I bought my nephew like retail games for his Switch because. I don't trust him or my sister to figure that out.
I mean, I wouldn't. I'd say not really. I'd say what I want to know about this is based on your purchasing habits.
I have never bought a physical game for the PlayStation 4. I have not bought a physical PC release since New Vegas in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a 3DS game.
Mm-hmm.
And it would the last one was, God, I think it was SMT4.
There you go. Yeah, sure.
And then I later rebought that digitally.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Because I'm just, it's like even for the ones where you don't go.
I bought that off Amazon.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is even if you're not going digital on it, you're grabbing, you're going Amazon on it.
I literally cannot remember the last game I physically purchased for myself.
I remember like walking in there and looking around at like shit and seeing stuff, but I can't remember the last time I actually truly purchased a physical. And the funny thing is the rate that I buy physical games at, like a bunch of the more recent ones have been at a con from Video Games New York. You know what I mean? Like it's like
a weird thing.
Yeah.
Yoink.
Take that, you know.
I think it might be Dark Souls 2. On the PS3.
Huh. Can you remember the last game you pre-ordered at a brick and mortar?
It would then also be Dark Souls 2
okay.
on the PS3.
For me, that is 100%, I believe. Why would I say 100% if I believe it? But whatever. KOF 11. I think it was KOF 11.
That's farther back, yeah.
I
remember why. You did it because otherwise you weren't going
to
get it.
There was no way to get it.
Because it was extremely limited. It
came with a soundtrack. Anyway.
Man, that's hilarious. I remember when I bought my Switch in GameStop the whole time, or got a controller recently. I go in there for controllers every now and then. And it's just like, I'm just blown away at how archaic and slow, and like, they've started the upsell in Canada now. And just like, I don't know if it's, if I'm being an asshole or something, but you know how they have to ask you the 8 to 10 questions of like, hey, do you want the, hey, anything you're looking for? Mm-hmm. And I just answer just nope, just the thing in the same exact tone of voice every time. And like, they seem annoyed, but it's like, am I supposed to sit here and make small talk with you?
Yeah. No, they know, and you know, they're doing their job. You know, it's the same as like, hey, do you have the Optimum card? I don't.
I just, you know what?
I don't.
I got.
I'm not interested in the Optimum card.
Really?
I know you have to ask me. It's not your fault.
I got a really bizarre version of that the other day. Got a phone call from Bell Canada, my internet service provider, asking me if I was happy with my internet service and if there was anything else that I would want. Right? The typical upsell call. Right? I already buy the most expensive internet package from Bell Canada. And during the call, I'm like, the whole time, I was like, what are you expecting me to...
Where do you want me to go from
what
here?
What do you want?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I already got it all. I have the unlimited plan. I have the modem. I have the...
Yeah. You might as well pull me off this list because there's nowhere to go.
Because I go, no, I'm really happy. I already have the most expensive fiber you offer.
Do you have a second address that you need all of this placed at?
No, not that you would actually route it to, assholes.
No cabins out there that you're trying to get some
sick-ass Wi-Fi? Oh, I'd love fiber for my office. Do you do that? No? Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Anyway, so there's that. And, I mean, before we get into the obvious explosion of Paris Games Week news, I'd say the other notable piece that happened this week, unless you've got some other things, is that old Peter decided to hang up his hat at Capcom and hit the dusty trail.
It's
there's a couple of words we can use.
That's Peter Rosas.
Rosas. A.K.A. Combo Fiend. And I can say, like, you know, a bit sad, a bit unsurprising. You know, he's a really cool guy. And we can only speculate because we're just some bullshitters sitting out here. But, like, Matt Dahlgren left not too long ago. And then very shortly after, he did. Now Combo Fiend is leaving, and they were both definitely the, like, you know, FGC guys. Like they knew and ran and were involved with all these things. And yeah, man, you know, all I can say is looking back on it, like, I can feel that, like, if you're in a seat where people are like, you're taking the heat. You're taking the heat for, like, you know, sort of the current state of affairs and the current state of unhappiness that people have and the current state of, like, you know, dumb, weird things. Like, if you're looking at Wonky Dante and then going, like, ah, Combo Fiend, you know what I mean? Then it's like, that's not a fun place to be.
No.
And you're like, what can you do, right? So, your job is, you're there. And that's why I'm like, the whole functioning thing was just like, God, that's a shitty place to be in.
There's been a gag that's been going around since I saw this news, which is both, like, shockingly cold, but also really hilarious. And it's just, employees are really just functions after all.
Oh.
And
you can just
right, and if you and if you can replace one that has the same function, that's just as good. And I feel like that gag and why it's funny.
Fuck, like, that's so real.
Speaks to the exact reason why I'm completely unsurprised that he left. Community manager is the job to eat the big bowl of shit for the community.
But
you are the person they put out there to just get dumped on all day. Combo Fiend, amongst all their recent community managers, was given an especially gigantic shit sandwich to eat for the crowd with, why aren't the X-Men in this Marvel game? And why does Dante look like a pile of dog boners, etc.? And after the game shipped and it's out in the first major trip, I am not shocked that he is tired. Or that he would be, I don't know personally, but I'm not shocked that he would be tired of eating that big bowl of shit.
Important distinction, too, is that, you know, despite being sort of like the S-Kill replacement, S-Kill just did community managing. And Combo Fiend definitely got into more than that, you know, and got into like production side and got into dev side as well. So like he was getting more involved too at the at sort of the base level.
And at the same time, I mean, if what we have heard about that game's budget and production issues are accurate, I would also not blame him for being very frustrated on that side as well.
And here's the thing too is that what you what's very easy to not see, you know, is the part where that gameplay is as solid as it is.
Oh, yeah.
Likely because of him. And
but like, that's like a couple steps removed from the surface.
It is.
Right?
It is. And it's not obvious and not clear. But like I feel like that is part of like, you know, like that's the sum of the strength of like having a player that knows what the fuck he's doing involved in that way. And you know, I mean, Street Fighter V for all its hits and misses, like when it came it came out in a state that was like particularly unbusted compared to other fighting game releases on day one. Right? It came out in a state that was like, no, this has been played for a while.
Yep.
And that's actually why you're getting such a bare bones package, because most of the time was spent just playing this thing, you know, and then doing very little else. So you're getting like the gameplay first and then the rest of it, the aesthetics and the package and the stuff that is looks cool, you're getting that second, you know? And I would hazard a guess that you could attribute that to him as well, because you know that like he's likely the guy that's down there barking for gameplay, you know, more than anything else.
No, you don't get it. Monster Hunter has to be able to do full screen touch of death. You don't get it. Don't you understand?
So, yeah, man, I feel that that's, you know, it's again, it's a little bit, like you said, function. That's a really, yeah, functions.
Because it's cold, man.
It's cold. It's cold. It's a cold, cold world, and you know it. You know?
It's really funny.
There's this... What can you say? You know, the cap cop has handed in his badge, and Haunts is gone as well.
I am extremely excited to see what new lamb they offer us to devour.
So, I mean, someone in the FGC is going to get offered something, or the opening will happen, and then they will like see who applies, and I get. I mean,
and like, then they're like, ah, and they'll fill it internally.
Yeah, and you know, as Campbell Fiend said, it's like, you know, like there's a lot of there's a new generation out there with new ideas, is what he said. You know, which, you know, basically translates to like, y'all deal with this bullshit. I'm fucking out of this.
I'm too old for this.
Too old for this shit. Yeah, and so like we're gonna see like there's definitely a new generation of players out there that probably still have the dream of like, you know, getting in, working on their favorite fighting game franchise, and here possibly even thinking I can fix this.
Just get my cross in there, man.
Oh, he's off doing his own
things. Just no one, you know why? Because no one can be mad at Mike Ross.
Like he popped up on stream like after being gone for a while, and he started playing some Guilty Gear, and I was just like, "Fuck yeah, man! You play some Guilty Gear, you get that arc system."
All right,
in
so
there.
we got Mike Ross playing Honda. What? Mike?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah. No, it's hire Quackbot. Get him in on Capcom.
Get Quackbot in there.
Yep.
Hey, listen.
He's got some good ideas.
I got some radical new ideas for how you should run your brackets.
Oh, dear. Farewell, Peter. You're a good guy. You made the Bionic Arm hype, and I'll never forget it. All right. Paris Games Week.
So a few hours ago, Sony did a little Paris Games Week conference.
I mean, it's called Paris Games Week, but it really is.
It's Sony's.
It's the fucking PlayStation show.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of VR stuff. There's a little roundup here of a trailer. So I haven't had a chance to check out much of this. But
all right. So I watched the whole thing, so I can break it down for you.
Okay.
We got Megalith, which is a decent looking VR game. Apparently, it's a hero shooter / MOBA.
Interesting.
Which is not like indicative of its trailer at all, and I only knew that because of the little panel they have talking about these kinds of games. It's a CG reveal trailer that shows the design of the monster, and that's it. The art style looks cool, but aside from that, there's not a whole lot to talk about.
Yeah, it looks a bit like I'm seeing that the shots of the environments remind me of the Jonathan,
Absolver
and Rhyme and the Jonathan Blow game.
Yeah, Journey. The Witness.
Witness, thank you.
Why did I say fucking Journey?
I don't know, but yeah. But it's a little of that too. You're not wrong. Mm-hmm. It's a little of that too. I don't know what to call it, but there's a particular style to like the way those pillars are being shaded that is like, yeah. Yeah, you're one
flat,
of these.
Flat shading, I think.
Interesting. So it's a hero shooter.
Supposedly.
Okay, Megalith.
Which is weird because there's a first-person shot at the end of the trailer that is like the guy's hands, but not a gun or whatever. So, yeah, still kind of unsure as to what
Become
that is.
Become a god.
That's 2018.
You the beast. Okay.
Battle Blood's really easy to explain. Guns of Icarus in VR on PlayStation. You pilot a ship and you move around in VR to flip and turn various knobs of that ship.
Okay.
Like a one-man Star Trek bridge crew.
And you're working with a crew of?
Of one.
Oh, okay.
I believe. And if you watch the trailer for Bow to Blood, it's Guns of Icarus on PSVR.
Okay. That seems like you're missing out by not having a crew.
Yes, it does.
Because big part of what made Guns of Icarus actually pretty fun was having like people doing different tasks.
Yeah. No, the delineated like ship experience that like Star Trek Bridge Crew does is more compelling.
Gotcha. Ultra Wings.
Ultra Wings is a VR flying game where you fly around and do checkpoints.
Yep. Yep.
It already exists in not VR, I believe. And it's Pilot Wings, but it's called Ultra Wings.
And you can shoot the gun while you're flying.
You shoot the gun and you fly.
Oof. All right. Well.
That's pretty much it.
Gotcha.
Sprint Vector seems way more up your alley, Wooly, though. This game, after they showed...
Talk to me.
After they showed the trailer, the person talking about it was like, the developers have confirmed that you will be able to comfortably run, jump, and shoot.
Because
the trailer shows off.
Oh my god!
A really aggressively fast and speedline filled VR experience.
Okay, so
that I cannot possibly imagine being comfortable.
Okay, okay, okay. There's a lot of things happening looking at this trailer for Sprint Vector. One thing is, the camera is moving forward through a course at a slightly faster than comfortable movement speed for VR games.
It's not a sprint, but it's a run.
However, there's a huge overlap of speed lines.
There's an explosion of speed lines
that make it seem a lot faster than it actually is.
Yeah, which I think is the trick, really.
And at a glance, I think that that's about the limit, but that was about as fast as Eagle Flight.
Mm.
Right, when you get low, because Eagle Flight seems slow because you're high above the city, but then when you get low to the ground, you start to feel the speed.
Yeah.
But like that seems to be like about the limit of like how you can get before people start to be like so that's interesting. I'd be curious to know if they actually like had a version of it that was like full of comfort settings
because
that slowed it down
at the highest running speed that you can see in the trailer. I want to say like a full 50% of the screen is just speed lines.
Yeah,
and it's totally ridiculous how much faster throwing speed lines on something makes
you
it
are
feel.
You are right to assume that like I love the idea because I'm fucking all about that. Mm-hmm. But what I hate is the idea of like crashing into walls and the ground and ramps and objects in VR. So those two things might create a problem. That means I can't play the game, but I don't know. We'll find out shortly, won't we?
We will find out.
When's that coming out?
I don't know.
Okay. Well,
I have no idea.
I'm clicking on it just to find out real quick to see what it says.
Doesn't appear. Hit the show more button, maybe.
No,
has no release date that I can find on that page.
Well, it's nice to see that VR getting some attention here. All right, Final Fantasy 15 Fishing.
It's the VR fishing game.
That's it.
That's it. You get to camp with your boys.
And new lines of Ignis.
That's correct.
Yay, Iggy.
That's it.
Cool.
It's a fishing game.
And there's some outfits for you to buy.
I don't know what that's for.
There's a chocobo outfit.
That's weird.
Noctis looks like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Hey,
Cindy's there in VR.
What's Cindy doing?
She's getting covered up by that billboard.
Cindy doesn't want...
Get that shit out of the
she
way.
She doesn't care about fish. What the fuck? Anyway.
Where's the rest of the videos?
Then there's Dead Hungry.
Oh, Dead Hungry actually looks pretty interesting. It looks like... there's more games that I can think of that would do this, but it's Tapper in VR, basically.
Oh, okay.
What the fuck's it called? Cook, Serve, Delicious.
Feed the Zombies.
In which you are hurriedly making burgers and shit and fries, and you are feeding zombies that come up to your burger stand, and that cures them.
Yeah, okay, sure. All right.
But it's VR Tapper.
Sure.
With burgers, pretty much.
All right, and then not VR games, we can get into, I guess we'll start off with this.
I was honestly pretty unimpressed with the not VR, with the VR games.
So
there was nothing in there that I was like, yeah!
There's a new RE7 Not a Hero trailer.
I'm glad that they show a completely non-humanoid type enemy in that trailer, but I'm kind of worried because it appears that the entire DLC takes place in the mines, which is the shittiest area from RE7. But getting to play as Chris and punching dudes again seems awesome. Because Ethan sucks at punching things, and Chris is good at it.
Cool.
You remember Chris punching?
Yeah.
Well, he gets to do that against the molded, and they basically fly apart.
I'm a huge fan of Chris, don't you know?
With the new umbrella, which is good now.
What the fuck? Okay. All right. Never mind. Yeah. I guess I should find out what's going on.
Yeah.
At some point.
RE7 is a really good game.
I know. Yeah. I'm just going to go straight from this to the link right over here. That just says
the Hong Kong massacre.
Oh, yeah. Well, hold on. Didn't we talk about this before?
It was announced today.
No. We definitely talked about this game before on the podcast. At the very least, in terms of just the name, because Matt and I went, "Oh my God, it's called what?"
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey,
but a trailer.
A John Woo Hotline Miami.
Okay.
And looks awesome.
Yeah, we definitely...
And has a great title. Great style.
We definitely went in on this name.
Looks visually amazing.
Yes, Hotline Miami. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This looks very pretty. And Slow-Mo is the name of the game.
That might just be for the trailer, though.
Could be. I'm down for a top-down stranglehold.
Yeah, works for me. That's exactly what I thought when I saw it.
Yeah.
Like, the visual inspiration is so similar.
Yeah.
Lots of
diving over tables.
Yeah, lots of smoke off of everything.
Yeah.
Lots of tracer bullets.
Yeah. Very pretty. Very
jumping
cool.
Between buildings I love and shit.
That looks fucking cool.
Looks great.
That looks fucking cool. Okay, we got the Hong Kong massacre. Next up, Lutu.
Lutu?
Lutu.
What now?
Talao.
This trailer, this is the Last of Us 2 thing.
Yeah, I want to watch this properly, so it's a 5-minute trailer, so I'm not going to
It's a cutscene. That's a cutscene. It couldn't have less gameplay. Like, it literally cuts as soon as the gameplay would start.
Mm-hmm.
It is astonishingly dark.
Okay.
It is like uncomfortably cruel.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go out and like properly watch this right after we're done here. But
I've seen people talk about how like this trailer is like probably like it's a symptom of that weird problem of like the weird hyper glorification of ultra violence in these press conferences where you see Kratos pull off a guy's head and a crowd cheers or something. Whereas this one was so. It's mean. It's so mean that like you didn't even get any of that. The crowd's just kind of silent and like.
But the crowd loves wipeouts.
And there's some wipeouts.
The crowd's here for some big wipeouts, you guys.
Also of note, Joel and Ellie are not in this trailer.
Okay, so that's good. That's fucking good. That's great. I love that. I really like that. Because. Dream scenario for me is that this, if like the little trailer we saw with them mm-hmm. is like perhaps just the beginning of the game, mm-hmm. and then you lead back to them at the end in some way.
The
game is actually about completely different.
The current
people.
Speculation that I'm seeing is that might, because she does, the female character shown here does look quite a bit like Ellie.
Okay,
and then it might be her mom in a like long term gameplay flashback.
Okay,
because this lady. You'll watch it, and there's a bit near the end where she stands up and, you know, picks some stuff up and in front of the camera. She is jacked, man. She is ripped.
Okay.
Like, she is prepared for the apocalypse for sure. Like, okay. Super detailed tries and biceps, man.
Would you call her a punch girl?
No. Okay. I don't think there's a single punch thrown in this entire trailer.
Cool. All right. Well, at what it says here, based on the words from Neil Druckmann, is Naughty Dog creative director. He says, at the core, Last of Us is still very much about Ellie and Joel. Meh. But for this reveal, we wanted to showcase several new characters that are integral to their next journey. Ah, okay, well, there goes what I was just saying.
Wow.
Instantly, actually. But hey, at least we know now. We're sure you have many questions after watching the scene. We're also pretty sure you're going to see all sorts of theories from about who these characters are and when the scene takes place and so on and how this fits into Ellie and Joel's next story. For now, we're keeping mum, but... we're excited to see what y'all make of this piece.
The most interesting thing in the trailer by far is that there is a villainous, you know, gang of people that refer to people as apostates and use like religious like speech.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I can see some cults springing up in that universe.
Yeah. Hey man, brainwashed is a pretty good excuse to fucking be mean to some people as you put it. It's like, yeah, you had to kill that guy, but that was
there, Wooly. There's
that was
Wooly. And to those of you who have not seen the trailer, to hit the level of meanness that's in this trailer, a command uttered by a character is to clip someone's wings.
Oh boy! All right,
and everything that would entail.
Oh boy.
It was generally weird to have this at the end of the press conference because it was so violent and uncomfortable. And then the Jim Ryan comes out and goes, hey, wasn't that great, everybody? And everyone's like,
Punch lasers are actually like fucking death murder lasers, I guess.
Something like that.
All right. And then
we got more. There's more in here.
Hey, all right. Talk about some what?
Oh, I got some things to say about this Detroit Become Human trailer. Okay.
Talk about some Kara.
Step one. All right. Let's pretend David Cage is totally unknown to us.
Okay. First time I'm hearing about this. Hey.
This trailer looks fantastic.
Okay.
Step two. David Cage is not unknown to us. There are some weird things in this trailer. One, it straight up takes place in Ethan Mars' house from Heavy Rain. Like, I'm gonna ask.
Okay, wait, no, hold on, stop. Literally, or
they drive into future Detroit and they drive down what appears to be near identical suburb to Ethan Mars' neighborhood in Heavy Rain. They go into a shittier, dilapidated version of the same kind of two-story apartment suburban thing. You know that
okay,
kind of area?
Okay, they're going for the same thing again.
Then they go into the house and you can see that the room layout of the entire first floor is almost identical.
Oh fuck!
And it's like what?
Oh. Fuck.
It's weird. It's so weird.
Oh, fuck.
It ripped me out of it right away. It was so confusing.
Here, Pat, something we've never had to do with all of these games in the trilogy or quintology or whatever the fuck is connect them together.
Okay, it's not actually Ethan Mars.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to ask you.
No, it's not actually.
Fucking A, dude, I'm trying. Fuck.
No, but it's like legitimately
because we literally like that's the one thing is we can at the very least separate these turds
over there.
And put them into different bags.
It's not weird because Ethan Mars sold his house and now these people live in it.
Okay,
it's weird because it's like. Do they literally have a fucking blueprint up on the wall that says America House?
Sure.
It's confusing.
I mean, if it's also fucking the girl's apartment.
Like, you want to pull that trailer up while we talk about this? You can watch and you'll see what the fuck I'm talking about.
Because I'm saying, like, giant apartment that Heavy Rain girl has, that Beyond Two Souls has, that fucking thing girl has too.
Yeah.
Whatever. Who cares?
Just hit the trailer and I'll keep talking about it.
Sure.
So in this full screen it for your own personal benefit,
Kara.
Like. See, that's the living room kind of thing. You see what I'm talking about? Anyway, the general premise is pretty interesting. It's about an abusive.
Oh my god! Yeah, that stairway.
Yeah. You see it, right?
It's an
abusive father.
Yeah.
Who in a fit of abuse towards his daughter, like literally, like tore up the old model, and she had to get rebuilt. And it appears that, like, family abuse is reaching a point of, like, murder is going to happen.
Mm.
And then it shows off, like, here's 10 different ways that it goes. And they show endings to these scenarios, like escape, he gets killed, you get killed,
they did last time.
And it's genuinely, like, on completely by itself in a vacuum.
Yep.
It's pretty cool.
Good.
Pretty interesting. And it reminds me a lot of, like, the first kind of moments of Heavy Rain or, like, the first scene in Indigo Prophecy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's where this trailer for this game is starting to make me really, 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 really worried. I think we have seen a different character and different demo for literally every time this game has ever been shown.
Yeah, so that means we're going to jump around in that Heavy Rain type way.
Yeah, but jumping around to tons of different characters?
Tons of different chapters.
Like, how much of a cohesive story could this game possibly have?
Think about Beyond Two Souls. Think about how many different chapters were there. And, like, give
those away to
multiple androids. And then have that one main one where you have the revolution at the end.
Because I'm afraid that the plot of this, before the revolution or whatever, is going to be 15 different little side stories that were like, look how humans are the real evils and not the cyborgs.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be over and over and over and heavy-handed and so embarrassing.
Okay, well, I mean, for starters, like, I don't know if you saw it, but, like, I almost barfed in my mouth when I saw the fucking, like, they had the diorama of, like, real people on the game, on the show floor inside the little boxes dressed like the androids. The signs were on the front, were all like, they work hard so you don't have to, but like the lines were all so heavy-handed in terms of just like, you can beat and fucking abuse these things because they don't fucking care, it doesn't matter. Be your worst version of yourself, human.
Yeah.
You know? And it really is, like, going super heavy and hard on the whole, like, human bad thing. And it's just like, okay, David, the probably better way to tell the story
is
with a little thing called subtlety. But what the fuck do you know about that?
There's a change that they made to make something more subtle in one of the earlier trailers.
Greatness awaits.
So there's the original trailer, and then there was a trailer a little while later, a couple months later, maybe a year later, right? And it included some of the same scenes. And the core scene that's important that I'm going to talk about is the one where they walk past the diorama,
mm-hmm.
and there's the ad.
Mm-hmm.
And in the very, very first trailer, it said, she works hard so you don't have
to. That's, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
In the second trailer and everything that passed them, mm-hmm. it has been changed to, they work hard so you don't have to. So they realize that, okay, it's a little too on the nose with the, because they're acknowledging that it's a slave person.
Yeah.
It's not a robot.
Yeah, right?
But the fact that screams someone saw that and pointed it out to them and then they changed it. How much of this lack of subtlety is in there, but no one saw it, so no one could point it out? And so it doesn't get changed.
And like, I want to say that the wording of that is actually the wording of that is actually even more obvious, because there's something about it. I don't even think it is so that they work hard so you don't have to. It's kind of like they work hard, you don't. Or I feel like the wording was such an obvious thing that. I want to remember exactly what it was, but it was.
You know what it makes me feel like? The original idea was they had a whiteboard and it was alternate names for robo slaves. And okay, guys, throw it up there. What do we got?
Mm, mm, mm.
And it, like, just, you're not going to find this fucking
thing.
No,
it's not going to happen.
It's gone.
But, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, that happened. Then there was...
It's man, I'm so excited to play that game.
On the complete...
I'm so excited.
You know what else you're excited to play?
What's that?
On the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Shadow of the Colossus.
Hey. Subtlety in liquid form.
So...
They chose the Phalanx to show off for this trailer.
Okay.
Which is a good trailer
monster.
That's a
good place to fucking go.
Game looks great. Very little fog, very little bloom. So a lot of people are like, it has a different look than the original.
It does.
It looks a little more stark, actually, which I think works for it, but you know, different taste.
Yeah.
I need someone to come out and show that they're using the North American or Japanese style, like controls and like movement and stuff like that. Because that PS3 remaster was, as you all know, completely fucked up by using the European master copy, which has like busted mechanics on some of the climbing stuff. So like if this came out and uses like that shit again, like I'm fucking done. Like
It would be very surprising if they spent all this time doing the wrong thing.
Again.
You know? But...
I don't blame Bluepoint either in the first case because they're a European development studio and they probably all played that version and that's the version
they
know.
That's the version they know. Right. Yeah. No, that's a pretty solid
explanation. I brought it up before and it's like... I'm sure Billy would actually agree with me on this. So, you know when you play a game so... Like, I beat... everything in that game. I did every hard time attack. I beat it all, got everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of thing you pick it up, you climb 1 foot on the Colossus, and you go, this is crash. This is crap. Fuck this. Right? Right?
You grab the first hair tuft.
You climb up one handhold,
and
you go, no, this is
fucking
crap.
Quit this. Oh, but yeah, okay, I hear you. I hear
right?
you. Right,
and everybody has a game that they're like that, but they get a board or something.
Yeah, totally. You jump in Sonic 4.
You jump in Sonic 4. You do hard punch in Hyper Fighting for the Xbox before it got patched. You know, stuff like that.
Oh, I love that so much. I really do. Because, that shows, like, it's like there's a, it's not, I don't want to use the term mastery, but it's just like, I know this.
Certain level of expertise.
I know this, like, I know my fucking family.
Yeah.
And
you screwed it up.
You are not
I can tell from the most minor of details immediately.
You're not my mom.
Who are you? Why are you wearing my mom's face?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah, okay. But this looks gorgeous.
It does.
Okay.
Just keep re-releasing this game over and over. That's fine.
I mean, look, if a generation goes by that doesn't know what it is,
put the goddamn diagonal jump glitch back in so you can get to the top of the Citadel in the first playthrough.
No, just put in a fucking like bird mode where you just fly over and.
Oh, that's not gonna happen.
Just look at the map anyway.
That's so not gonna happen ever.
You read that fucking movie script that apparently was going down?
I did not, but I did hear about it.
Woof, woof, bark, bork.
Yeah.
Yap, yap, McWow, bow, wow. Holy shit, that shit's terrible. And you can go find the Twitter thread if you're interested in hurting yourself. I won't do it to you. You know I had to do it to him. This looks fucking great, and I guess that was the whole thing. Okay.
Yeah.
No. I was like, oh, are we gonna, oh,
they
no.
showed off a different trailer that was the riding against the Phalanx, but,
yeah, this was just right. Like,
you people know what that is.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to watch Aggro and Wander just fucking trot around.
I was watching the Phalanx, in the demo, and all I could think of was like, man, me and Wooly are so cut from the same fucking cloth on Shadow of the Colossus, where everyone's arguing about like which Colossus is the best, and me and Wooly go, the flying one! And then someone goes, which one? And he goes, Avion! I go, Phalanx! And we get in the argument. No, yeah. No! That flying one is better than this flying one, idiot! It's like, no, the flying ones are the... Avion's number two.
for me.
And well, no, my well, what I loved was like early on, I forgot who the third person around us was, but when it was like the description of like, so then you pull up and then this thing is fucking just going overhead and you just look up at it like, how the fuck am I supposed to do that? And yeah, it's like, yeah, that applies to mine as well. And it's like, oh, well.
That applies to Malice as well. That applies to.
That's the whole thing.
That's the game.
But like the point where I'm like, this is not, there's like, you're just in the sky and the game is like, solve for X. I'm like, that's a moment that you can't fucking, you have to experience it. You know?
That's so good.
You
do the fucking wing transfer on the side, on the transfer, like on the turn.
Get aggro up on those wings if you can.
Oh, that one, though, I've done it. Oh, God.
The 1 week that Spider-Man...
Matt's not here.
The 1 week that Spider-Man's not here.
The 1 week that Spider-Man's not here...
And we get a Matt trailer.
Matt's on the trailer. That's weird. You never see him at the same place at the same time.
It's like seriously, bro, dude? Like, what do you got? What do you
The Spider-Man trailer looks good.
No, wait, hold on. We're not done.
Yeah.
How long has Matt been screaming angrily for more photo footage of the Spider-Man game?
I think since I met him.
Like, it's been so long. And you fucked up. Why? Because you love your wife. What a stupid reason to miss out on Spider-Man.
Lame.
Boo.
Trailer looks great. There appears to be a playable Mary Jane. Miles Morales is introduced in the story.
Yay.
Which, okay. I don't know where that's going to go.
Probably not anywhere big.
Just
but,
like, hey, this is Miles Morales. You like him, right?
I mean, look, I guarantee. Oh, yeah, there he is.
There he is right there.
I guarantee another friend's just hanging out. That's so weird. That's so weird.
Yeah.
Whoa. Because I was going to say that I bet you that if we fast forward a few years from now, there will be a Marvel storyline where Peter and Miles are best friends being spider buddies hanging out.
Yeah.
I bet you Spider Bros.
So at the end of this game, Spider-Man's going to pass the Spider Torch to Black Spider-Man?
Sure.
He's going to give him the Spider Torch?
But like,
that's how it works?
But if someone decides to just go, let's go somewhere completely different with it, and literally go, nah, two, we got Spider Bros.
Yeah.
Right?
You play as this Spider-Man or this Spider-Man?
You got Spider-Man and Black Spider-Man.
And just for the funsies, Peter is the symbiote Spider-Man in that one.
Yeah, he is.
Make everyone confused.
Like, you talking about Black Spider-Man?
No, man, I'm talking about Black Spider-Man.
Oh, okay, cool. Just checking. Yeah. So it would be that'd be a really fun thing to see. But in the meantime, the idea that they're just friends hanging out is weird.
Yeah, it's goofy.
What's gonna happen there? Because yeah. I mean, I guess it'll be kind of like with Homecoming where, oh, there's Shocker. Interesting. I guess because in Homecoming, you know, he's got like the chubby friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea that like, well, this guy is not the chubby friend, so he could do it too.
Yeah.
We both got bit at the same time.
That's crazy, man.
Mm.
I got bit by the Spider-Man, by the spider. And then I was like, oh, man, take a hit of this.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
I passed the spider to my buddy Miles.
And then and then there you go.
Oh, man.
One night hanging out. That trailer looked like a Spider-Man game.
It sure did. I hope that game's swinging is good. I don't care about the rest of the game.
Speaking about swinging being good.
That's right.
You can take this one.
All right, Monster Hunter World, the PS4. Wait, what does swinging have to do with Monster Hunter World? Oh, it does have swinging now, right?
Fuck.
PS4 only beta begins December 9th.
Seriously, bro?
Do you think... Wooly, I spent like an hour watching fucking Gaijin Hunter's fucking weapon breakdowns. The swinging thing is a trivial concern. Regardless, PS4 only beta.
How dare you?
Is dead. You don't get to do that with this series to me. You back off.
How dare you?
You played one in a goddamn fighting game. You think you, anyway.
Tasty.
So, yeah, December 9th to 12th, you're going to be able to play this game online on the PS4. The wording on this is a little weird because in the past they've put out demos, but this looks like it'll be like a slightly more substantial, like, open amount of the game, like maybe 3 or 4 monsters and, like, the ability to wander around town and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They also announced that Aloy will...
It'll
be in the game on PS4.
Whoa, that's fun.
Yep.
That's interesting. Do you think that opens
and
up?
Unlike the costumes they've shown off prior, like in the 3DS games, it's actually Aloy's character model in game.
that's an interesting. Yeah, why not?
She's a bow user.
Do you think that leads
three fearsome quests
to an answer by not?
Hold on.
Yeah, you're gonna. Okay, it is the standard type of demo. You're gonna fight the Great Jagras, the Anjanath, and the Barath. Okay, cool. So that's two new monsters, one old guy.
Do you think this will lead to a Microsoft answer?
No.
Why not?
Because I feel like it would have been announced by now.
You don't think?
And like, even though this game is coming out on all three platforms, like the PlayStation one's getting the push because that's where the audience actually is.
You don't think Cuphead would make a great addition to the Monster Hunter roster?
No. I think Marcus Fenix would actually make a better addition to the Monster Hunter roster because he has a who's got a melee weapon in Microsoft?
The guy from Rise, Son of Rome.
That guy?
Mm-hmm.
That guy.
The guy from Rise and Rome.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd like to see a crowbar weapon on the PC. Like a sword and shield where it's like a crowbar and like the lambda symbol. No? Actually, I wouldn't. I don't care for this crossover shit. It's always terrible.
How about Mr. Scalebound?
Yeah.
What kind of fit would he have been for this kind of game?
He'd be a longsword user.
Yeah.
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 He would have fit fine.
You think with the whole big monsters and him on the ground doing his whole thing, being able to fight off?
I think that's a bit too raw.
That wound is still bleeding out.
That game never came out, man.
Nah, dude. And it's a fucking Capcom game that the character's getting put into.
Yeah, dude. The trailer also showed off a bunch of new monsters and environments, and it looks really fantastic.
Okay.
They've shown off the flagship monster before, but not in a trailer, weirdly.
Mm-hmm.
And
do they show off the flagship armor alongside its armor when they do these things?
No.
Okay.
The flagship monster is this weird barbed monster that when you break the barbs off, they grow back within like a minute. Mm-hmm. And they go from white, which is easily breakable, to black, which is tough to break. And it spits the shards at you, all sorts of crazy shit.
So when I'm seeing smaller little ad-type beasts, I was under the impression that that didn't exist in this game. And that
they totally do.
You kill, like, small things before you go.
There's a stage? In the prior games, there's the zone, which is, like, made up of little stages. But this one, it's one big zone, right? Okay. And there's, like, there's the volcano one, the forest one, the water one, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you have your big ass monsters, which you're seeing a lot of in this trailer, trailer really. And then you have the children / small versions of those that are around.
And there appears to be copious amounts of monster on monster action.
Yeah, that's new.
Okay.
That's really, really new. So monsters could hit each other in prior games, and they would like. But they rarely interacted. Usually they would zoom in on you, or one would just leave.
I like jumping off of a surface and hitting a thing.
Now I'm seeing a lot of footage of like enemies that are like just like this monster is tougher than this other monster, so it will kill it if it encounters it.
Or you get that like Rick and Morty moment of like there's that beast and then the bigger thing just goes.
The way that a lot of monsters have been
The under the sea fucking giant fish eating the bigger fish eating the bigger fish thing.
Yeah. So the way that a lot of monsters get introduced in the series, there's your flagship, which is the mid game / end game one. That's the on the box.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then there's the final boss, which you see a tiny little teaser of it in this trailer. It's coming out of a giant pile of corpses, but you don't actually get to see it.
Okay.
And then there's your, I don't know what the fuck you would call them, your specials or your end game. Like, so there's stuff like Rajang and Devil Joe, which is like, they're not the final boss, but they're pretty much tougher than everything else around. And they are always going to show up as you go, you get a quest to fight some bullshit, like some regular thing. And then in the middle of your quest, the fucking Devil Joe shows up and your character gets explicit messages. Get the fuck out of there.
Okay.
That thing will kick your ass in 2 seconds. Do not fight that. and then you will build up to fighting it later.
At which point, I guess the thing opens up to like make it a selectable, like where you can go.
Not for quite some time.
Or do you have to just get lucky again?
Yeah, usually what ends up what ends up happening is eventually you'll get the quest to select them, but usually is from then on in certain areas they'll just be part of the zone.
Okay.
So you're gonna go fight your monster. Oh, Devil Joe showed up. Throw a literal shit bomb on him so that he gets stinky and runs away, so that you can keep fighting your monster.
So it's not quite like hunting down the Grim Reaper, but
It's. Think of death in Persona 3.
Okay.
Stay too long.
Well, that's what I meant.
Yeah, that's what you meant?
I meant the Reaper.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so...
But killable and huntable later.
What was I going to say? Yeah, you did manage to convince me that the Kirin armor, despite being the obvious choice, is not the best choice.
Oh, yeah, you looked up a few others.
No, I'm just going off those fucking like image searches you fucking pulled up in like 4 seconds, and I went,
there's
yeah,
a million. There's yeah, tons.
Yeah, there's some good armor.
There
out
is
there.
One really, really bizarre thing that old standbys would notice in this trailer. There's the monster that had all the spikes on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's using all the moves of an existing monster. Like it does this chin pound in the trailer, mm-hmm, that is like a straight animation rip from something called Uragon. And it's like, are they just recycling old monsters into new looks so that they get the monster count up? And if that's so, that's fine, because Uragon's genuinely great to fight.
That's fun.
Ben would save time. A lot of time, actually. Because the animation, it feels like, is where most of the work goes.
Here's a question, right? So... I have a feeling the answer is clearly no, but when you look at something like, you know, the set that you see the character wearing, and it's like, okay, my sword is made of the fucking teeth,
yeah,
of the mouth of this beast, mm-hmm, and the top of my hat is basically like one of the scales off the top of its
that's
head.
Right, yeah.
Does the size of the teeth on my sword make any relative sense to the thing I killed?
Not only... Does it is themed, it is not accurate, but like, so it's like you can tell this is you can tell your guy's cosplaying with the monster's guts,
right? Okay,
right. But not only is it not accurate, the parts that you need to make them don't correspond to the look of anything whatsoever. Like, it's like, oh, you need 5 teeth and 3 scales. It's like the thing you made doesn't look like it needed 5 teeth and 3 scales. But on top of that, certain weapons will change how big they are depending on whether or not they're right on your back
that's
or not.
That's what I thought.
The greatsword is like 60% of its actual size when it's on your back so that the blade doesn't drag through
on the
floor.
And I imagine if you fight a giant rooster, that when you make a hat... and you get a rooster hat, suddenly its stupid little fucking things are the size of a human and
not a
giant rooster. Got it. Yeah, okay.
It's themed. It's not accurate. Yeah, yeah. If it was accurate, then it would look like shit because you would have all just scale. Right? It would just, the teeth are the size of your character in a lot of cases.
Speaking of themed, here's a theme I love.
What's that?
Guacamelee 2 announced
for
the PS4. Four-player co-op.
Game looks great.
Four-player co-op.
They showed off a very, very intense-looking new mechanic in which they have blue and red bars going across the screen that subdivide the screen evenly. And in blue areas, there's no obstacles. And in red areas, they're all dangerous. So, like, the floor's on fire with the red bar over it. And... the grab point is there with the blue bar over it,
mm-hmm,
and it's constantly rotating, so you're having to platform through like a very quickly changing environment.
I like how his chip broke in the guacamole because that happens in real life.
It does.
And you're like, fuck me. The integrity of this chip is not as strong as I thought it was.
Yeah.
Cool.
They also showed off new chicken powers, including like the ability to get chicken abilities and like combo with chickens.
Yay.
So you can see the blue and red stuff.
I can see. Yeah. I can see it.
And also enemies don't appear in one or the other.
Okay. Like, yeah, a little Ikaruga.
Yeah.
Death zone switching. Well, to be fair, that existed in the last game, but like...
But it was always in your control.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas here, there are parts of it that are just automated. Looks great.
Fun. Didn't expect to see that coming.
Hell no, I didn't.
But at the same time, if you think about it, Drinkbox, they did what, Severed before this?
They did.
And I haven't heard many people talking about Severed. Because it was a Vita / mobile game.
That's right.
So the fact that they would return to form on a console sounds like they wanted to get people talking about their games again.
That's possible.
I don't know. Maybe.
And let's make a game people will play.
Hmm.
Which sucks because Severed looked good.
It did.
But I never played it.
Nope. Lastly, but not leastly, there were some trailers for... well, this actually is not super, super new, but Hellboy was announced, and now he's got a trailer out for Injustice 2. And that's fun, because I wouldn't have called that, you know?
It's not voiced by Ron Perlman.
Well, what the fuck? I mean, I don't know if Ron Perlman is in the DLC budget for Injustice 2.
What's he up to? Nothing. That's right.
Oh, I mean, probably like drinking sand.
I want Hellboy to come out and tell me that war never changes, okay? Is that so much to ask?
Well, for one thing, this Injustice 2 trailer does look like that's Hellboy doing the Hellboy things.
Yes.
Does he punch the ground and make fire come out?
I'm not sure.
Okay, well, he's using his fist.
He appears to have one big weird fist.
Yeah, well, he always did.
Okay.
Oh, he's got armor. Interesting. I'm someone who had the pleasure of working on the Hellboy video games prior to this back in the day. And boy, oh boy, I sure got tired of seeing Hellboy. But I liked the character. It was just very unfortunate that he was in an incarnation that was... soul crushing.
But you sound really happy about that.
It's well, I don't know how to put it, but it's just a weird thing where, you know, when I talked about how it's like you make the mistake of using a song you like as an alarm clock.
Yeah.
And then you ruin that song forever.
That's right.
That's kind of like this, where I'm like, I do like Hellboy, and I thought the cool Guillermo shit that we saw even like in the movies and then in the comic and the art style and whatnot has always been fun. But I am just like, man, the job broke me a little bit on that one. It wasn't the worst thing we ever had to deal with, but it certainly was one of the poorer ones. But Hellboy's a cool character.
So he's a boy from hell.
Yeah, and he's got a big, big, dumb fist. That's his deal.
That's his deal?
Yep.
Works for me.
Shaves his horns down.
Yeah?
Yep.
Why?
Because otherwise he gets horny.
That's...
Come on. Come on.
You telling me? Come on.
What did you expect?
I expected a real answer because it freaks people out or something. Or...
Nay.
No, that's too late. You can't. No. Fuck that. Let's talk about fucking Captain Ginyu and the fucking Ginyu Squad.
Because we got a trailer for Captain Ginyu and the fucking Ginyu Squad.
Holy shit, this is so much better than I was expecting.
Dragon Ball FighterZ, it's exactly what I expected. I expected his team to do all the work for him. You're not picking Captain Ginyu, you're picking the Ginyu Force. And in fact, I'm a bit like, I feel like his name should be Ginyu Force.
Yeah.
You know, I think the character select screen should be all of them. Because holy fuck, are they doing it? You're picking the whole force.
So good.
That's amazing. The body switch is real. That
is this like the Carl Clover of this game?
No, because I don't think they stay out.
Okay.
Also, Android 18 calls out 17. So.
Yeah, you're right.
Here's one thing is from talking to people this weekend about Ginyu, like I feel like everyone, as a result of this character existing, is going to have to do a weird thing we've never had to do in fighting games. Everyone is going to have a pocket Ginyu.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a reverse Shang Tsung.
Oh, yeah.
Where everyone's going to get turned into this character at some point, and you have to know what the fuck's going on when you get stuck as him.
You have to know.
So you might as well start practicing just in case it happens.
So they're going to get weird data out of this. I mean, like, wait, what? Ginyu has 100% knowledge rate with the players? What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why is he so popular?
You gotta have a pocket Ginyu. And if you do a Ginyu mirror match, That's a good one.
You know what's even better? If he's really bad.
I mean, yeah.
Because then if you get switched, you're fucked.
Well, you would assume that's the point a little bit.
Yeah.
There's two ways they can play this. They can make it so that the switching does something worse than just switching,
mm-hmm.
and he's a pretty solid character. Mm-hmm. Or they can make him absolutely terrible and make the switch a fucking problem that you have to deal with for a very long time. You know? How did you defeat it when it happened to you in the show? / manga.
Oh, Goku kicked his ass with his own body.
You just yeah,
because he's like, just because your body is stronger doesn't mean you know actually know how to fight.
And then he gets panicked and then he switches it back.
Yeah,
and there's no real gimmick to it. So yeah, okay, yeah, no, I could totally see.
Which is how it will work in the game.
Like, if, for example, I could see it being like, no, Ginyu's a normal to not do something completely nuts. Ginyu's a normal character and the whole force is strong, but like when he switches bodies, you only have normal attacks. You know, like something exactly like because I mean, think about it. Like Valentine can poison you with the lag needle. You know, certain characters like Injustice, you can have someone that like fucking switches your stick with your button inputs for a brief period of time. You know, like there's all kinds of shenanigans with controller fuckery going on in some of these games. So, yeah, I could totally see that being a thing. Very cool. Let's take some emails.
I just hope you don't have the ability to combo into the body switch.
Absolutely. You're 100% going to be able to combo into the body switch.
Oh, man. Come on.
You can combo into a level 3 grab with Trunks, dude.
All right.
Absolutely. Get the fuck out of here. If you've got some emails about...
switching body. Oh, I forgot to talk about something. I'll talk about it very briefly. I watched Your Name on the plane.
Oh, yeah, you did.
A+, super fantastic.
Watch it immediately.
It's the best.
That's what you said.
The core premise belies a much more complex and interesting story. That's it.
Hmm. Let's see here. We can get into some emails. Were there any other announcements that you caught that were of note?
They showed off like 90 seconds of God of War and it looked good.
Was he fighting another god from a different thing?
No, he was fighting Zombo things.
Uh-huh. Sucker Punch announces...
Oh, fuck. I totally forgot about that.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Okay, so it's going to be an Infamous game, but with samurais and shit.
What the fuck is this?
They showed off like a trailer that...
What the fuck is this?
Looked good, but I'm not sure how much of it was real.
Okay.
And they showed off Concrete Genie too, which kind of looked like shit, but that's because I hate art.
What the what? What you got?
It's a voiceover trailer with some CG elements and some maybe in-game elements.
Okay.
Kind of difficult to tell the difference between the two.
Okay.
I think that's gameplay. I think this area with the forest is gameplay, for example.
It's very pretty. I mean, I can assume that's an engine.
And it's a samurai game made by Sucker Punch. And that's pretty much all that's known about it. Sucker Punch being the folks who make Infamous.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm looking at some very Kurosawa-style imagery of
mm-hmm.
villagers and rice paddies and...
Samurai and shit.
Yeah.
And, I'm very interested. They haven't made a Melee game yet. Like there have been limited Melee options in the Infamous games. But I would very, very, very much like an open world like...
Is this Red Dead Ronin?
Maybe. It might be.
Because if this is Red Dead Ronin, that's the fucking coolest thing.
And the Sucker Punch guys make good video games. You ever play any Infamous games?
I did not play
They're good.
The Infamous games.
They're all good.
For a long time, but I did touch them. I touched the second one for a bit.
Second one's the best one, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it looks dope.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Glad I didn't miss that.
Mm-hmm.
Did we get any dates? Did we get any information? Did we get anything besides just a name and a trailer?
I don't remember.
Ooh, that guy's in the fire.
Yeah,
he's burning up.
So he may or may not be a literal actual ghost.
Oh,
I'm not certain. Probably a live guy.
Oh, I see. I'm getting a little. What's her name?
Excuse me.
Little killer instinct with it there.
Little Zako.
Zako, yeah. This looks very cool. This looks very pretty, and good job, Sucker Punch. I hope the gameplay is good, because yeah, there's very little.
That looks like a dream game.
That looks like a dream game, and there's no gameplay to be seen there. But
I think the last like 2 seconds of that trailer are gameplay.
If this is Red Dead Ronin, then go fuck yourself. This shit looks...
Get out of here, West. We're going east.
Yeah.
No, really.
We're not going to wait for Assassin's Creed to do it.
We're going to do it. Shut up.
Basically. Because you had your chance. In fact, you had like 8 of them.
Over at Sucker Punch. Over at Sucker Punch, Assassin's Creed Origin gets leaked 3 years ago. And they're like, God! All right, guys, I'm tired of this shit.
Nope.
We're doing it ourselves.
Whatever they're working on gets scrapped, and they're just like, fuck this. We're doing it. Yeah, okay. Sounds good. If you've got an email and you want to send it in, you should send it to...
superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
That's...
superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. And your email might sound something like Wooly reading this email. Like this.
Bozo-san says, yo, how many more podcasts until the dicks are actually on stream? Did I say like 2 million subs or followers, I think, or something? 10 million? I don't know. Something in the millions.
Joke's on you. My middle name is Richard, so there's always been a dick on stream.
Bam! 18 million. I'll take the Wendy's route. Was it Wendy's?
Yeah,
okay. 18 million.
Oh, man.
There you go. You can hold me to that.
I fucking love that stupid tweet.
We got one coming in from Yan Cueva, and he says, Pat Dedek, if you're reading this email, it means that my new email clickbait worked. Hello, big fan from the land of Mexico. I've been watching and hearing your content for a few years now.
Hey, man, what up?
But I've realized I don't really watch your videos outside of FNF and Scrublords. Mostly just hear your podcast every day and reset it to episode 1 whenever I get up to date. I hear the new ones as they come out. My question is, what brand or group do you enjoy more than a certain media that's its regular format?
Giant Bomb.
You like Giant Bomb more than Giant Bomb?
Yes.
I can agree with that. Yeah, Giant Bombcast is
much better than their video content.
I just generally don't check it out that much, really.
The video content, I'm always struck with, like, I could do it better, which is like a really shitty thing to say about people that have been doing it for so much longer.
But
it's like,
case,
I like the style of video that I make more than the style of video that other people make.
Understandable. Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Because I'm a humorous individual.
That's a pretty good one. I'm sure I could, like... pick something else out of there, but
you sound like you're gonna fucking die, man.
I'm doing my best, man.
I know. I'm just like you sound like you're gonna fall asleep and then die.
Because the Canada Cup happened and then it ended and then there was an after party and then there was an after party and then after that I got back to my room and then I had to pack my bags and then I got on a plane and then the plane flew and then I landed and then I got here.
You took a nap though.
I did.
You did take that da.
You got it.
Nailed it.
You got there. Yeah, my brain's racing right now to find another example because I know I have.
Oh, yeah, but you got that fog in your brain right now. I know that feeling.
So we got one coming in from the Dreg. He says, Dear Bagel Bite Spook Lords, Halloween is not only a time of candy, but also a time of hard spooks. If you had the opportunity to, how would you spook each other as a surprise prank or whatever at Castle Super Beast? Okay, so let me take the reins on this one and say that we wouldn't, because the problem is, the Drake, that we know each other way too well, and whatever we would do could potentially scar each other.
It's too
horribly.
I'm thinking
keeping it light enough on a general spooky way is too. It wouldn't work.
I know.
So the things that would work would be horrible.
I know. I could plaster the walls with something in here that would like damage Wooly just by entering the building, and I'm not going to do that because that's too awful.
And I could set up a chain of events,
yeah,
that could occur in a very short period of time
that would just make my crazy meter just go off the fucking
that
chart.
Would lead to Pat disappearing for a while and maybe returning at some point, but we don't know when that would be. So
there's no in between. There's either that's funny. you got me. Or like, oh, wow, where's Wooly? Mm-hmm. Grenada. He went back. Wow. That's wow, that's extreme.
Yeah. So for what it's worth, the answer is no. It's
no, man, no thanks.
That's not gonna happen. Dear Screw, two scrubs and a baby. Wooly, considering Hot Pepper Gaming is gone now, are you gonna get your revenge by creating Spice Lords and getting Pat to eat his hot pepper? Hey, I still got 9 Buchalokia. Fucking
I'm not eating that.
Ghost peppers hanging out. So.
I'm not eating that.
Well,
I'll eat a lot, but I'm not eating the fucking ghost pepper.
I mean, to be fair, like,
not after I got full on eyeball confirmation of what it does to somebody who handles fucking spicy stuff better than I do.
Well, I mean, I ain't signing a waiver, or I ain't making you sign a waiver, rather. So that's your deal.
Don't put it in my Red Bull. I'll notice.
We got one coming in from Jason. He says, "They're super best blorp the blorps." Jason here. What's the deal with messing up the podcast title?
What? You broke the podcast?
I don't know what he's... He's saying, I just do it because everyone else does, and I want to look cool. Is it from the... I think he's saying, what's the deal with messing... with saying
super best super, bork the barks. Yeah.
Like, is it from the barfmail.barfbarf podcast?
I believe it is, in fact,
or is it something
that.
Else? Do you not know? And I think, it's just something...
Or it's just some witty remix.
Something's just organically grown, Jason. That's all it is. People just latched onto it because it was funny. You know,
yeah, like that thing on your back just organically grows.
Oof. That's not good. You should get that checked out.
Whatever. I've had it for like 20 years.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Says,
you want to see it after?
You've got a camera pointed at you.
No, I'm not showing people that. That's private.
That's your camera.
That's just for you.
You can do whatever you want with your camera. Just leave mine alone.
My cameras are far. My cameras are far away. I can't reach them. You'd reach your camera.
It's a flattering angle. Don't worry about it.
Any angle that shows me and not where the floor is at is a flattering angle. What are you fucking laughing at?
That your spite tweet of you standing next to the too tall for this ride.
Okay, dude.
Tweet.
Okay. So I was at the Minions ride in USJ, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, time for death, mm-hmm. right? And fucking Paige fucking goes, oh, it's because he's not tall enough. And, like, I kind of knew she was going to do that, so I took the spite photo of me standing next to the I'm tall enough to ride thing. I knew it. I knew that was going to happen. I was ready.
With the most pained, like, unexpressive face you could muster up at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm tall enough to ride all the children's rides.
It's not going
to
stop.
There was not one ride I was not tall enough to ride at that roller coaster place.
Pat, it's not going to stop people from vectoring chocolate bunnies on an angle to create a perspective mock-up to figure out how tall you are according to this light switch.
They were all super
next to your
off.
Head.
They were like, because all of the chocolate bunny one was like based on
4 foot three.
The average height of a light switch, but yeah. Like that is clearly wrong. I'm 5'2", guys. I'm really short. You don't have to exaggerate it. I'm really short. Guess what? Wooly's not that tall.
That's true,
you
too.
Just often see him next to me and Matt, who's only a few inches taller.
Yeah, people really, really are confused by that one. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, when people meet you and they're like, what? How small is Pat? Real small, guys.
Brennan's a giant. I'm pretty normal.
You're like 6'2"?
Pretty much 6'1".
That's pretty close.
It's close enough, yeah. There is one over here, and yeah, Alana wants to know, correct me if I'm wrong, but the CEO of Quantum Dreams said they were going to give him more writers to reel him back. From what I hear at Paris Games Week, it sounds like it's not working out.
Yeah.
That's an observation, I suppose. Yeah. What can I say? Okay, Craig says, Darren Humans presents Super Best Friend Cast. Given your love of old, occasionally jank graphics, I was wondering what kind of graphic style you would switch your current body to you could. None. If you could, the answer is none.
Yeah.
Let's change this question and say...
Because, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to walk around as a PS1 cube man and be studied by scientists.
That's silly. Let's change this question for you. I'll fix it for you and say, if you had to, and you had no choice in the matter, Would you become a horrible PS1 polygon monster? Would Wooly become expertly crafted pixel sprites? I don't know. You tell me.
I'm going to go with 3D cel-shaded anime look. I'm going to be an anime person.
That's pretty good.
I'm sure there's like a niche that I could fill in my life as an anime person.
Yeah, I'm going to go 16-bit charm. Like on a level that is like just good enough to show up on a Sega Saturn and still look pretty fucking tight. And that's because I feel like the charm will always be there forever.
Yeah,
it'll never hit a point where it's like, ooh, ooh,
if you look at
rough.
You edge on, do you are you like flat?
Yeah, well, I'd have to be.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm a floating cardboard.
How thick is your floating cardboard? Like,
well, I mean,
like, are you razor thin?
I am one reality pixel wide.
So you're just walking through people and cutting them in half?
I'm a voxel, okay. You know? Like, I'm one voxel wide and however many across, you know?
Flatlander.
But I can squeeze through fucking doors, bro. I can jump on the walls like Link, and I can just like... That'd be really creepy. Because imagine if I was like halfway around the door, and then like... and then like you were looking at the door from like the frame.
Yeah, fuck this.
So, like, the texture stretches, you know what I mean? Like, right in the middle part, you know what I'm talking about?
That's fucking weird.
Like, if you ever do 3D modeling and your job is to map textures onto something and bake it, there's times when you put the settings on and they're all wrong.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, and so you see, like, the facial features in the wrong places on the face, and it's, like, all that weird shit. Yeah, that's horror.
It's bad, man.
Yeah. I'm surprised any of the Shitstorm games do shit like that, because that stuff's rough. Anyway, and lastly, we'll take one from Jacob, and he says, "Dear Strongbad," okay, sure, that's simple but good. Well, he's talked about it on a few occasions, and I'd be interested to know what music you've been listening to lately. Are there releases you're looking forward to, and so on and so forth? What's up, music stuff? Okay, your best bud, Jacob from Maryland. I've got a good one as far as lately is concerned. So. I was recently turned on to this super awesome fucking Japanese DJ that is pretty much continuing the legacy of Nujabes.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that with like, that's high praise because mm-hmm. Nujabes is a fucking god. Rip. But this guy's name is Kenichiro Nishihara. Check out his music. It's all over YouTube and it's on iTunes and it's in all these different places. And it's just mellow Nujabes Samurai Champloo style vibes.
Mm-hmm.
There's playlists and playlists of it. It's some of the smoothest, easy listening, like just Japanese style hip hop instrumentals. And they're fucking incredible. Kenichiro Nishihara. He's amazing. That's me.
You asking me a music question?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Well, throw whatever. What's on OST?
If I plug my headphone in to my phone right now, let's see what happens.
Sure. Also, the Cerebral soundtrack, which is actually out and available, is really cool.
Yeah. Okay, the Mad World soundtrack kicked in.
There you go. That's a good
one. That's my go-to. I remember now. I listened to that on the plane. I listen to that on every plane trip. To and from, because I can easily listen to that whole soundtrack. Just, Anarchy Reign soundtracks is not as good. It's just, yeah.
I was half expecting Sinatra.
Yeah. Were you?
All right. What is going on? What is coming up? What is coming out?
Okay, let's see. Shitstorm's going to end tomorrow at the start of a new LP.
Yep.
Eagle-eyed and eared viewers already know what that is because it's a game that we haven't played so far in the storm that we should have. Me and Wooly are going to be starting a new LP relatively shortly, but not quite tomorrow or the day after.
There's some adventures to go on first.
An art has to be made first is the actual reason.
Yeah, there's that too.
And setups have to occur.
Plan.
So we're going to be doing some one-offs. You and Matt start doing a thing?
I mean,
I'm going to assume as much, but I don't actually know what it is.
Yeah, when he gets back. So it's new LP season. You know.
It's new LP season, so look forward to new LPs that we haven't announced just yet because we need to make sure they work.
There is going to be a...
It's not Bubsy, guys.
No. Matt and I are going to get everything wrong again. And on a more, I guess, as far as releases go...
Well, there's a lot.
Yeah, there is. So hold that thought. I'm on next weekend. I'll be tweeting this out and stuff. But next weekend, I'm going to be officially Screamlording.
Ooh!
Officially Screamlording. At the Montreal Esports Invitational, which is basically the new team that opened up here. The Grizzlies are the George St. Pierre-owned esports team.
Oh, cool.
And they're going to be doing an invitational tryout for Street Fighter V players. And people are coming out to represent and to try and get a shot at being sponsored.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be part of the Screamlord team. So it looks like it's going to be a pretty official biz and a good time. So check that out and catch me on that. Again, I'll pop links on my Twitter when that comes out.
Oh, man. L.A. Noire's coming out all remastered in like 2 weeks.
Well, shit.
We fucked up. We got to redo it now.
What a fuck up. What a fuck up.
There's actually there's a lot of games.
Yes,
coming out.
Yes, such as.
Well, you haven't touched Mario Odyssey or Assassin's Creed.
Nope.
So pick one. You'll be happy. We got Ore, which was announced today at the Paris thing that we've missed. That's like Journey, but and Shadow of the Colossus combined in one game with a kid that turns into a dragon. That's out now. Let's see. We got Bubsy, the Woolly Strike Back.
Who makes Ore?
I don't know.
Okay.
We got fucking multiplayer expansion for 15. It's coming out. You got the Call of Duty.
Which one's that?
2.
Oh. Okay.
World War 2.
Okay.
You got Sonic Forces. Yeah, you got fucking...
That's true.
The Zero Dawn expansion. You got some Bioshock crap. You got some Star Wars.
Gonna have to investigate the create a hedgehog.
Yeah, you are.
How prego can you make it?
Very
sick.
God, oh man. Yeah, there's a lot in here.
Okay.
Video games. That being said, the two of the biggest of the year are Assassin's Creed and Mario.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like, I'm probably actually just going to be playing those two for the next, like, 2 months.
And I assume the idea, I mean, based on a fucking Mario game dropping, is that, like, there's enough content in that to tide you
that
over
until
next year.
That game is like Breath of the Wild enormous.
Yeah, no. A proper Mario game release means months of content. Plus, in a world with literal DLC in different Nintendo games, which is just new, this brand new world.
We gave you 3,500 new power moves.
Like this is gonna get crazy because Mario games are already these insane, all encompassing adventures, and yeah, this is gonna be one where you're gonna download more worlds. So
maybe,
likely,
yeah. They haven't announced it. They did announce it for Breath of the Wild before that came out.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. It seems to be the route. But yeah, that is true. So I guess outside of that, I'll bump it a second time. But if you can and you're interested, like one, there's... So the website's officially down now.
Yeah, right? We killed it.
The website is officially killed. And yeah. You know, a lot of folks are creatures of habit that we're still heading over there to listen. But what I've
but it's dead now, so you can't.
You can't. What is there, of course, is the Liberated Syndication page, which has been around from the beginning as an alternate link to check out this podcast. And I'm going over this in the audio file now, just because I kind of realized too that like some folks kind of. Like, hear this thing, but don't actually necessarily check out, like, the feeds and social media.
That's right.
And announcements, right? Mm-hmm. So I figure if it's part of the actual show, that might help.
That's right.
So, yeah, we are now without that website, but we still have our...
You might want to make a small, like, 1 minute 90-second like YouTube video and put it on our channel.
Hey, we can clip this right here, in fact.
Oh, shit.
What is this tech? So, yeah, that's it. No, basically, so there's a SoundCloud page now where you can check it out, and like, hopefully that helps with if anyone's having trouble with
what's
their devices.
SoundCloud?
It's a place where you upload music.
Okay.
And then you can pay and then start uploading podcasts too.
Oh, all right.
And that's it.
I guess that's
what that is. And it plays on a lot of people's devices, so it makes it easier for them and such. And like, there were like specific technical reasons why it was not possible until now, but now it is. And so that's what we're doing.
We're doing that now.
Of course, the podcast is also still available on Google Play Store. It's available on Stitcher.
You can grab the RSS feed.
The RSS feed directly from
that's usually the simplest
our Libsyn page. I'm including download links for mobile as well on that Libsyn page. So I know some people were heading there and unable to download it. That should be fixed from now on. So you should be able to just go there, click the thing, get it as usual. Trying to make it as easy as possible to grab it in any format, wherever you want. The only other thing is I'm going to see if I can find out more again and try again. But the only place that it isn't that it should be perhaps is Spotify. But that was entirely not up to me. That was based on Spotify simply just being like, we don't call us, we'll call you.
Yeah, it's one of those.
So
they're like, hey, Spotify. They're like,
yes. And I'm trying to yell out at Jay-Z on his over a title, but he's out on the water, so he can't hear me. He needs food.
Tidal's a great name for that service.
He needs food.
Tide goes in, tide goes out.
I like it. Everyone lists, and of course there's like all the little third party smaller like things people use on their phones to get it working. Some people say Podcast Addict. Some people say Pocket Casts. Some people say, I don't know, whatever else. But I'm going to see if we can get it up on Spotify too. But the point is that it should be everywhere, easily available, and more than ever. So yay!
I want to get an email from Spotify that's like, so we looked at your podcasts and we can't, in good conscience, put these on our service.
Yeah. Titled like judging that book by its cover, and you're like, hey man, don't judge a book by its cover, and they're like, oh no,
we listen.
Oh no, we listen
to one and realize that all of those titles are from a discussion, and we're like, nah man,
like we thought you were just like clickbaiting or ear baiting, and then it turns out that they all had context. So
we typed in the Prego Shino Rebel King Hedgehog and found that it was a real thing. So you're banned.
Yeah, please, please, please leave and never speak to us again. Never speak to me or my son again. can we cut the clip here?
I think that's enough. Okay, we did it. Hey,
all right,
done now.
Okay. Oh yeah, I guess we can end the podcast here.
Well, you defeated your podcast that you did on very little sleep.
And my reward is
more sleep.
Yes. Fucking yes.
It's a good reward.